This is episode number 32 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of June 30th, 2008. Today on Indus, we have this week's Distractions Gaming News. For our feature, we are joined by none other than Trick Man Terry and Ken Sushi X Williams for our online versus print discussion. Follow that up with Money Misses and the Atavistic Question of the Week. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions. My name is Christopher Riccio and I'm here with Jason Aestrecker.
Hello.
And Jeff Trorney.
Hey.
And we're going to talk to you about games again.
Again?
Yeah, because we do it every week. The 32nd time.
That's right. We do have a very cool show for you guys today. We're actually going to have Trickman Terry and Ken Sushi X Williams on later in the show. So be sure to
Well, that's
to
rather presumptuous of you.
I know. Anyway,
I mean, they could turn out to be douchebags or something. We don't know. We're going to find out, though.
We will. Well, Jason, how you doing this week, man?
I'm doing good. Sun's in town. Times are good. Hanging out with the family. It feels like a household now, because usually it's just Lisa and I. But with Callan here, it's like, happy family.
Are you still beating him for playing Warcraft?
Beating his ass. He's so grounded. Teaching him CQC and stuff. And, yeah.
Nice.
Nice. Jeff, how about you, man? How are you doing?
Good. It's really hot in my apartment right now, and I have no air conditioning in the main room, so I'm sitting here sweating it out. Having a bit of a fanboy moment, knowing that Sushi X and Trick Man Terry would be on here.
Oh, I know. I'm going to totally geek out. I know I am.
Oh, yeah. It's like we grew up with them.
Not kidding.
It's cool.
I did, yeah.
I can't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I think it's really cool that they're coming on. I'm going to be honored by their presence.
Yes. Like, would you think 10 years ago when you're reading your review of, like, Street Fighter II Champion Edition for, like, Sega Genesis that you'd be like, I'll be talking to these guys?
Yeah. They're going to be on our show.
Yeah.
I always thought it was cool that I named all my RPG characters Sushi X.
But only if they were ninjas, right?
Right. Only if they were ninjas.
There you go.
Oh, of course.
Right.
That only makes sense.
Very cool. Well,
I'm doing good.
I've been fighting with the spoiler episode for the past couple days, so that's what's been taking up my time. But
you did good.
Well, I found out something very important. In Audacity, under the view menu, there's something that says show clipping. Right. Apparently I checked that by accident, and it takes everything. It just kills everything. It's like Audacity forgets how to do anything anymore. I would like load up the project, and you know there's a button on Audacity so that you can zoom out so that you can see the entire project. I would click that and it would crash. It would just die, and I would look at my check my resources, and it would actually Audacity would actually suck up like 1.5 gigs of RAM. It was just like, what are you doing? So it was that was horrible, but
I was freaking out.
Anyway.
But you got it out. Sounded good. Chris even wrote the comedy bit in the beginning.
Really? Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. I threw something together. I was like, well, Jason threw something in for the regular episode. I can't just have nothing on the bonus episode, you know? I have to have something. So it was like, all right, how can I? And the main thing about that was that I just wanted something to make fun of the fact that Snake always repeats himself.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Repeats himself?
Exactly.
What are you talking about, Chris?
Cool. That's awesome. Well, let's jump in. Jason, what are you playing this week?
Same old stuff. Little WoW. Little Rock Band. Callan and I have and Lisa as well. We've got a world tour to finish. So this has been like a year in the making. So I think we're gonna finally finish it this summer.
But cool.
I did get a chance to play the beta for HD Remix, which I'm extremely excited about.
How is it?
It's interesting. We have really pretty HD sprites, right? And a big draw of this is that, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, perfect to or adhere to the original game as much as possible as far as gameplay and timing is concerned. And that's where it clashes a little bit. You know, we've got these beautiful HD sprites, but then we've got the same amount of, you know, frames of animation. So it looks choppy as hell, especially with, like, idle animations when they're just sitting there before the round starts. It looks like something that you'd see in, like, Newgrounds, as far as like a flash animation. Yeah. But you get into the gameplay, and yeah, it plays exactly the same. I had no problem getting into the swing of things. Everything felt tight. It was great. And the absolute best part, there was no lag.
Like, no
I'm not lag. Even kidding. There was no lag. I played some dude in France. I played some dude in Korea. And they both had, like, you know, over, like, 200 ping or whatever. But it was smooth, and I had no problems with it.
That's pretty awesome. Because the Turbo did have quite a bit of lag at times.
Yeah. But that's where the awesomeness ends, unfortunately. The beta, even just for a beta, man, is extremely buggy. And I was only able to connect maybe 2 out of 10 games. Mm-hmm. And the other ones would actually either freeze up at the menu, or, you know, while I'm connecting, or just lose connection. And when I say freeze up, it actually freezes up the entire system. You've got to, like, turn off the Xbox.
That sucks.
It's bad.
Hard reboot, eh?
So, yeah.
I
hope they fix that.
I'm sure it's not like features coming out the ass or anything like that, because it's a beta. But is it when you're just connect to one person and you fight them? Can you fight them again right away, or is it like you fight them in a match and that's it? Then it kind of disconnects and you got to find another fight. Or
do that. Yeah. After the match, you have a choice to rematch or just go back out to the main lobby. The big thing though was the tournament mode, where you can connect at least 4 people up to, I think, 8. And, you know, you wait for the room to fill up, and then it goes in like a tiered format. You play the first guy, and just goes right on down the line. So then it'll show your face at the end saying, oh, you're the winner. But
and you can only be Ken or Ryu, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. And it's only one stage. I had to fiddle with the initial options at first, because it presented it in a 4x3, you know, standard def.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got black bars on the side to keep it scrunched up. Ooh. But whenever you did like a finishing super move, the entire screen would light up with like special effects. I'm like, that's really jarring. So I went back and I changed it to full screen mode or widescreen mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically just zoomed in and everything looked really sweet then.
Oh, really? It didn't get all pixelated or anything?
No, it was gorgeous. And granted, you lose a little bit of the background then, but awesome trade-off. I'm fine with it. Cool. So I'm really excited. No lag. Keep it up.
Cool.
That's my week.
All right. That well, Jeff, go for it, man.
I started playing Metal Gear Solid 4 pretty much right away, as soon as I could. Still really, really like it. I still have an urge to play it whenever I get a chance to really play a game. I remember the part, you know, in the first act where you first meet Meryl and the whole Rat Patrol, and you're kind of going out of that, I don't know what that place is, whatever that...
They're chasing you out of the building?
Whatever, the building.
It was like a hotel, wasn't it?
Yeah, like the hotel kind of thing. Yeah. I didn't remember... that gave me a hard time this time playing it through. And I was like, what the hell? I have all these crazy weapons that you start with, and then I'm having a harder time than I did when I went through it the first time with like one gun. Huh. But maybe I think I felt just more like I was Rambo. I think that's why. So I was going out there just being like, I'll take on anybody, and I don't care, and where'd all my rations go? But I'm trying to go through... I'm trying to do it to try to kill as least amount of people as I can. So I'm trying to go through with basically choking people out and tranking them. See how that goes.
Yeah.
Did you trank the frogs?
I didn't trank the frogs, no. I figured they should die. They're bastards.
But then you didn't get the action figure.
No. Well, whatever. Everyone else I can trank. Not the frogs. They're taking bullets to the face.
Hell yeah.
Other than that, I played a little bit of GTA 4, played online Team Mafia, that game type. Have you guys played that game type yet?
No, sir.
No, I haven't.
It's actually kind of cool. You can get up to, like, I think it's 4 teams. Puts you in the city, and what you do is you just kind of walk around in your teams. Then you'll get a call from your cousin, and you'll say, I need this done. And it's a race to which team can get that done first. And then once the objective is completed, you'll get another call from your cousin. It'll be like, hey, this is what you have to do, and do that. Our team was destroying for the early parts because right away we just grabbed a helicopter, so we had an advantage. We just flew everywhere and we got there way before everyone else did, but then they eventually caught on. So when we landed the helicopter, they waited for us to run back into it, and the next thing you know, 3 rockets are coming up our ass.
Nice.
And that kind of actually screwed us for the rest of the game. We ended up losing by 5 points. I think it was like the 10,000, and we had like 995 or something like that. No, sorry, 9,990 something.
Right.
Just missed it, but
wow.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Nico, let's go see some TTs. Yeah,
exactly. Everyone to strip club. I don't know what accent that was, but that's about all I can do at this time of day. And yeah, I played one in Warhawk, of course, on Wednesday last night. That was fun. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We got to play. Actually, Jason, you never got a chance to talk this last week either, but Metal Gear Online.
Yes.
I played quite a bit of that, actually, last few days. And cool. I really like it. It takes a while to get used to the whole first person having to hit triangle and stuff. So it kind of, you have the button to get you up in your shoulder view. They have to hit triangle to bring it up into first person view. It kind of takes a little bit to get a hang of. Once you do, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not enough game types right now and not enough maps, but it is really fun. If you get a good group of people together, like we just play with me and my friends, it's actually pretty cool once you know what you're doing. I enjoy it.
Yeah, we're working on that.
That was a thing for me too. Yeah, we're trying to get a good group of people, just like good friends, I should say. We don't necessarily have to be good at the game, but
yeah.
It was me and a couple other guys, and we actually went into a room with some randoms, and we were actually talking over Skype, because apparently the voice chat in
it's crap.
MGO is crap. So
it's yeah,
but it was great on Skype. That was a great way to do it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one was talking except for it was like me and my couple friends that were in there, and sometimes we'd cut out, sometimes it would sound like really faint, it really wasn't working, so it came to the point where no one was talking, you would just kind of know what each other was going to do and stuff, so
it was
pretty cool. It surprised me. I thought nothing of it. I thought it was going to be just tacked on, but you can tell they went through some thought, and they took a little bit out of Call of Duty 4's bag of tricks, because you can upgrade your weapons and stuff the same kind of way, and
oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing, which is kind of cool. I'm not sure how long it's going to last for me personally, but because there's not too much going on now, and Metal Gear is like the in thing, so to speak. A lot of people are playing it, a lot of my friends are playing it, so it's a lot of fun, and I'm getting my fix, scratching my itch, so to speak, for online shooters with it.
It's a solid experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very solid, yes.
Sweet.
How long are we going to keep this going for?
No, that I'm good.
And you did? Good?
Yeah. Cool.
Chris, you have anyone?
No, I'm good.
All right, cool. Well, then I'm done. Let the big boss talk about his distractions.
Who's that?
Well, you, Mr. Riccio, sir.
Oh, I'm not anybody's boss. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know. I just wanted to use a Metal Gear Solid reference. Just go with it, man.
All right, fine. Unfortunately, I didn't get to play Metal Gear this week. So, yeah, it was a short week because we recorded on Sunday, but I was busy editing on Monday and Wednesday, and Tuesday we went and saw Eddie Izzard, which was awesome. So I didn't really get a chance to play much. I played a little bit of Crisis Core. I didn't really progress. I did like a side mission and that was it. I played Space Invaders Extreme. That game kicked my ass and I was like, okay, I'm done. And then I played some PSU this week, and that's literally all I did. That's all I played this week.
Well, you got some in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what counts.
But I'm hoping to do, Jason, I'm hoping that we can probably get some Metal Gear Online this weekend. So
this weekend?
Yeah. If possible.
Let's try if not on like Monday or something like that, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we usually
let's not forget that we have off July 4th, so.
Holy shit, you're right. That's like bonus.
And it's a
day.
Friday.
Yep. And oh, I have Tuesday off because of Victoria Day.
Is that Canadian is, Independence Day bullshit? God.
Basically, yeah. And cool. It's on a Tuesday. Oh, yay. Come to work for Monday, go to work Tuesday.
That sucks.
Fun. Yeah. Good times.
Well, good deal. Jeff, why don't you give us some news, man?
Yes.
Not a lot of news, but, you know, it's all about the quality, not the quantity.
That's right.
A lot of good stuff. Some internet online reports have been
where are you going with this, Jeff? Come on.
Basically showing pictures of what is apparently a leaked form of Sony's trophy system. It's a screen, looks like it's on the cross media bar. Kind of looks, has this like 4-tier graph where there's like a platinum trophy, gold, silver, bronze. It looks like they tally up the trophies based on how many you get in each category, plus there's a number at the bottom which I guess represents the total amount of trophies you have. Problem with this is just kind of some speculation saying it's probably fake. For one, it doesn't look that good. If you guys have seen the picture, you look at it, kind of looks not too flashy looking. It kind of looks like it was just kind of thrown together. And two, IGN reported that idea, that graph that they show, that picture, like was exactly the same as what they kind of described that what they wish the trophy system would be in last week's podcast Beyond podcast. Okay. So I went back to listen to it, and then that's exactly what I think it's Jeff Haynes says. He says, I wish like it would be cool if it was like this, and he basically described it exactly what happened to show up 2 days later on these sites. So a lot of speculation going around.
Inspired by.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I have to admit though, if they do it that way, that's a really cool way to do it. I wouldn't expect it. Like I would never would have expected that. And it would be pretty cool if they actually did rip off that idea, or if that's happened to be what they were thinking of in the first place.
It did look like shit though. I'll say that.
Oh, it looked like garbage.
It didn't look good at all.
Looks like it was done like on MS Paint or something like that and thrown on there. MS Paint. Well, not that bad. But hey, all your friends can check out your trophies, and if you have already 50 friends or 60 friends on there, you can improve that list. You can grow that list to 100 now, because Sony did kind of like a little stealth upgrade to their friends list.
Yeah.
On the PSN, you can now have up to 100 friends on your friends list. So that's kind of cool.
Very cool.
I sent a friend invite to Torgo last night. This is before any of this happened, and it actually said, like, rolls the dice. Does he make the Torgo top 50? And then it said, no, Torgo's already got 50 friends. You're out. So,
no,
but I sent him another one today. We'll see if he replies. I'm calling him out.
He could be 51.
He will. Yeah. And Jeff, you need to send one to him too.
Yeah, I do. I need to send a lot of those things.
I went on a mass friend adding spree last night after Warhawk. Because there were some new people in there that I didn't have on my list.
True. Some more developer controversy and shenanigans. Dennis Dyack went on to NeoGAF and basically told everyone who thinks that Too Human is going to bomb or that it's going to be crap or all the shit talkers to stand up and basically be counted. He said that I want to take, you know, make a list of people who think it's going to bomb and then list of people who think it's going to do well. And then he's saying that if people who fail, if they think that it's going to bomb, if it's right, if Too Human does bomb, then Dennis Dyack will have a title on NeoGAF of owned by GAF. And then if the opposite happens, the people who were naysayers to Too Human have to say owned by Too Human. So I know how do you guys feel about the whole like developers coming public on like message boards like that and kind of, I wouldn't say talking shit, but
I don't mind it so much if it's in a joking manner. And I don't know. I mean, who were we talking about last week that did that? The guy that just left Microsoft. Oh, that's how important Jeff he was. Bell. I can't even remember his fucking name.
Yeah. Jeff Bell.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was really tacky. What Dennis Dyack is doing, I think, is kind of in between. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, he's probably personally hurt by this. You know, he's. I applaud him for it because he's actually stepping up. You know, because he does believe in this project, and he's. I don't know. I think it's actually cool of him that he's putting himself in the public spotlight, and he's giving people an opportunity to make further fun of him. You know, if it so happens to be that way. So kudos to him.
And he will if he loses. Like if Too Human does bomb and. And who know what is bomb? Is bomb critically or bomb like retail? Like he didn't really say, but my guess would be it critically. I guess
it takes balls to stand up to the NeoGAFers, though. They're a bunch.
And either way, this is generating a lot of hype now because I'm not a big I don't go on NeoGAF. Not sure if you guys browse through there, but apparently it's causing a big stir and there's like a huge backing now for Too Human and
good.
He kind of it's kind of turned into a big marketing kind of thing for him, and he might have done that on purpose. Who knows?
I don't know. He kind of strikes me as a Jaffe type as well, you know, kind of an outspoken kind of guy.
Yeah, like he takes what he makes and he believes in it, and he's going to be like any other artist or anyone who creates something. They're going to kind of take offense if someone calls what you made crap or thinks what you made is going to be a piece of shit.
Especially without trying it human first. Nature. What do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dennis, we're all excited about Too Human, so no worries there.
Yeah. Yep.
Still if we keep talking him up, maybe he'll give us 4-player co-op.
Maybe. That'd be nice.
If it can do it, add it in. Leave it. Don't take it out. Let us decide.
Yes.
A survey from GameStrata. They had a little survey saying that gamers will roughly spend $30,500 on average in their lifetime on video games. This is gamers from the ages of 18 to 48.
It's quite a lot of money.
Yeah, that's it. Well,
that's, yeah, exactly. They're saying this is an average of, I think it was $758 a year or something like that. I don't have the exact breakdown in front of me, which I guess, I don't know. How much do you guys think you could spend a year?
Ooh.
Probably more than that, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
A little bit.
Definitely. I would say I spent that much already up to now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Considering like online membership fees and all that junk. Yeah. Yeah.
And Bill. Microtransactions, Rock Band kind of stuff.
Yep.
Apparently 85% of the people who game have bought something virtually online in the last month, so a lot of people are digging that way of getting their content.
Wow. Well, was that another news story? Because that was an awesome segue.
That's actually, you know what, because people can spend a little bit less, possibly, because a Kmart flyer leaked out, and it looks like the 360 could be getting a price cut as early as next month, just before E3.
Good.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that'll be announced at E3.
The which?
I have a feeling that'll be announced at E3.
Most likely. You can go to the store right now and pick up an Xbox 360
at Kmart
for only $299.99. Dog.
I think Sony will respond.
Sorry, Jeff Bell's gone.
No.
He's out of there.
No, I think they've got enough on their plate to do a price drop right now. Damn.
Yeah. They need to do it, especially with, like, Metal Gear Solid's going to, like, that. Going to do wonders. I can't wait to see next month's MPD numbers to see how much, like, PS3 actually sold, how many units it moved.
Oh, God, just last week it was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be insane.
Do you think that Sony will eventually respond with a price drop this year?
Yeah, they will. I think they will.
Yeah.
Their two big guns are out, right? I mean, GTA's out, Metal Gear Solid 4 is out. The games
that
they've
got a lot more big guns coming.
Well, yeah. They got big guns, but none of them are proven. Like, even Resistance is not proven yet, so that's still, they're basing it. Hopefully the sequel will do much better, yeah. But what else? Yeah. They don't have any big title coming out this, like, what's a big title coming out for them this fall that will move systems that people know of? I can't think of any.
Well, I mean, when did they say Little Big Planet's coming out?
But that's not proven.
Ooh, not a
system. That's, like, that's still something new, right?
Yeah. But technically, I mean, nothing's proven, right? Technically, MGS4 wasn't proven until it was released. So,
oh, come on.
Well, come on, Chris.
I know that it was going to sell, but you can't say the same thing. You can't say Resistance 2 wasn't proven. Resistance sold well over 1 million, and Resistance 2 is looking to be much more than that.
Oh,
and
for sure. I'm not saying it's not going to do well. I'm just saying, though, in terms of what will sell consoles, like, there's only been, like, GTA did not sell consoles. GTA 4 didn't sell consoles on either side. The only games that really pushed consoles this whole generation were, like, Metal Gear Solid 4 and Gears of War.
Yeah.
So there's really, like, in terms of what's going to push the PlayStation 3 to a consumer's home this fall that hasn't already, there's not much that's really coming. So I think the only thing that can
game, the next game that will push systems will be Final Fantasy.
Yeah. That isn't happens to be, like, unless, like, something gets ridiculously hyped up and turns out being awesome, which Resistance 2 could very well be that game.
It'll move up in my Gamefly queue, that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm just disenchanted with JRPGs lately.
Yeah. And after the last few Final Fantasies, I don't even know if that's going to... Now, what am I saying? Of course I'm going to buy it. What the hell? I think I pretend to say I'm probably not going to buy it. Speaking of that, actually, this is like a totally... I didn't even want this segue to happen, but another game that I wasn't really going to buy, I was kind of on the fence about it, now might have turned into a purchase day one. There's kind of a little rumor going on that Kratos, star of my personal favorite franchise, God of War, being appearing in Soul Calibur 4.
Hell, awesome. Yes.
He's an actual good choice, come on.
Yeah, he's a very good choice.
He fits perfect in there, 100%.
Yeah, he does.
Star Wars what?
I'm so excited about this. I hope this is real. I am actually looking more forward to playing with Kratos than I am with Darth Vader. And that's a lot for me.
I'm looking more forward to play with Kratos than any other character in Soul Calibur.
Well,
that's
just...
That's true. Man, they're just pimping themselves out. Like, some of the other characters are actually being designed by, like, famous manga artists or something like that. I read something about that. They're,
yeah,
like, pimping out their creative team to, you know, movie studios and comic artists and shit. It's like, wow.
Well, they had it on the 1UP show a couple weeks ago, and it looks really good.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're doing the whole, like, breakaway armor and stuff like that. I mean, it all looks pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't discount that it's going to be a good game or anything like that, but...
Yeah. They're definitely going back to the Soul Calibur 2, which was the, I guess, Spawn, the best-selling Soul Calibur game, because they had the same special characters. Link. And that'll be huge, because if Darth Vader wasn't a selling point enough for PS3, and, you know, Kratos is just icing on the cake, that just sold the deal for me 100%.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, this, yeah. It's like Soul Calibur 2, the best-selling one was actually on GameCube because of Link.
Yep.
That's, like, ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty exciting. Sega's going to be porting the Nancy Drew PC game over to the Wii.
Who gives a shit? Moving on.
And big news, this is actually really big news. Rock Band and Guitar Hero. Rumor that they're going to be getting Beatles compilations, Beatles songs. And you might not be a Beatles fan, but it is really hard to license Beatles songs and very expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And they don't know right now. There's rumors this is coming out saying it could be downloadable packs, but they're also saying that it could be more along the lines of an actual disc similar to Aerosmith or Metallica are doing with Guitar Hero.
Mm-hmm.
But for a Rock Band and Guitar Hero, probably World Tour, that it would just be like a basically a DVD or not a DVD, Blu-ray or DVD, depending on the system, of all songs for the Beatles, which would be pretty cool. I'm not a huge Beatles fan, but they're definitely songs that would be pretty fun to play on Rock Band. That's for sure. And when you're, you know, before you play Rock Band or when you're done playing Rock Band, I don't know if you and your friends do this, but a few of us will kind of gather on the TV and we'll watch the show. It's called Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I love that show.
It's my favorite.
Great. I think there's dancing in it.
Jerry Springer is just
and they're stars.
A multi-talented individual.
Yeah. And it's fun to watch them sit there and dance. And I sit there, I'm like, you know what? We just played Rock Band, which is a simulation of being in a band.
Uh-huh.
And this is fun, and this makes you feel really cool.
Oh.
You know, like wailing a microphone, beating on your drums. But I'm like, why can't I ever be a graceful dancer?
Yeah, I mean, I try to do it in DDR, and it just never works. I don't know.
No, you're just kind of flopping around. You're just moving your feet and stuff.
It's not the same, just like putting your foot on arrows. You know, it's not really like dancing.
No, you'd probably need something in your hand, maybe, to kind of judge maybe your movement, like how you swing your hips.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
So, but you know what? This is perfect, because Dancing with the Stars 2 is going to be hitting your Wii.
Oh, awesome. Perfect.
And it uses the Wiimote?
Yeah, you could kind of hold it in weird ways, and you know,
I can dance with my chuck.
Game,
that's awesome.
You can dance with your chuck. There you go.
Dance with your chuck. Dance
I can't
with
wait
your
to like make
grab
a
your chuck, grab
mod with like a mannequin or something like that. I'll like glue the Wiimote onto the mannequin. Wait, this is getting really dirty. Okay,
yeah, it is
dirty. It is dirty. But what would Chuck's mom think about this though? Think she'd be into it?
Who gives a shit?
And that was our news.
Awesome. And that was Chuck's mom. Okay. Sorry.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Much lighter version. Oh, God.
Do we need to do the Chuck's mom jokes? Isn't that covered somewhere else?
Yeah, it's probably
I don't know. It's kind of contagious, places. Though.
We need our own thing. Come on.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. Jason's mom. No, sorry.
Chris's mom.
I was just going to... He just beat me to it, but I was going to say Chris's mom.
Yeah, well, you know. Gotta be quicker on the draw.
Say my mom.
Cool.
And there's
well,
a wild threesome. I know it's crazy.
Let's take a break and see if we can get Terry and Ken on the line.
Woohoo! I'm excited.
You guys ready?
Oh yeah.
Let's do it.
Cool. Let's go take some tranquilizers or something and calm down.
Get the nerves. Shake it out.
That's right. So you guys stay tuned. We're gonna come back. We're gonna talk to Terry and Ken, and we're gonna talk about online versus print. Then we'll have new releases, emails, and question of the week. So
cool.
Stay tuned. We'll
awesome.
Be right back.
Chris, do your Cosby impersonation.
I have nothing.
you didn't even try.
I don't.
Yoda would be disappointed.
I didn't even know where to go with that. Cosby likes Chex Mall.
That's just me.
Wednesday. Game Fans Interactive Distractions presents the 125th annual Warhawk Wednesday, exploding into action this Wednesday and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the Amen Sports Arena. Come see world famous pilots Unistrike. Shino.
Hey, I'm getting pretty good at this.
And the Canadian flying ace Goffy.
Son of a bitch, I forgot with that.
With special guest, Nabo.
Hello? Is this fucking thing on?
Watch in wonder as Torgo annihilates Unistrike again. And again. And again.
Hi, Unistrike.
Warhawk Wednesday. It's awesome.
Presented by Interactive Distractions and VG Evo.
And welcome back.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys feel better?
I still can't believe you said that, Chris.
What's that?
That was a great break.
Before the break, I can't believe you said that.
That was. You remember that time when you said that? That was so funny.
That time
was great.
With that movie, with that guy and that sweater.
And that time?
That's right. Well, so now we're going to talk about our feature, and we've got online versus print, and we have two very, very special guests with us today. We have Trickman Terry and Ken Sushi X Williams. How you doing, guys?
Woohoo!
Good. How are you?
Doing all right.
Doing good.
Good.
Real quick, why don't you give us a overview of where you come from? Basically, how people should know you.
Okay. Well, this is Terry, and I'll start.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Basically, I worked on a magazine called Electronic Gaming Monthly for 10 years, starting from 1991 to 2001. And I was known as Trickman Terry because I did the Tricks of the Trade section for the magazine. And it sort of became popular because there was only maybe about three or four main gaming magazines out there. And that's how you got your news back in the day. Before those internets and those interwebs were around. And, you know, it kind of became popular because of the personalities that were in the magazine. And that's kind of how I'm known.
Yeah, there was no GameFAQs.com back then.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to do research.
Yeah, basically, I'm Ken Williams. Most people don't even know who I am because for the majority of my career on Electronic Gaming Monthly, I was known as Sushi X, the Red Gaming Ninja. Who is also one of the primary reviewers for many, many years. I came on probably, it was pretty late in 1989, working on the FCI helpline over at Sendai Publications.
Oh, wow.
And I moved over to the magazine shortly thereafter, if it was a few months later, during a time when everybody else got to go to a game show, and I was left behind to work on the magazine by myself, which was awesome. So from that point on, I was there for a couple months, and then they had a new review crew created, including the character Sushi X, because if you look at the very early magazine, Sushi X was not there. It was created originally by Steve Harris and David Siller. It's basically a ripoff of Taco X, a pretty famous Japanese reviewer.
And, from Famitsu, right?
Yes, and just for the people who don't know, taco does not mean like Mexican tacos. Look it up. Look it up. You'll figure out what it actually means. But anyway, so when David Siller left, they had a vacancy, but they had this cool character, which hadn't even hardly been developed yet. So I just happened to be new on the magazine, so I was the only person left. There was very few of us there at the time, so I got to take over this mantle, and I basically became that character. And it had a few perks. It had a few, you know, upsides where I could say pretty much anything I wanted and not get in trouble because it wasn't me. You know, it was the mystery reviewer.
Right.
Nobody knows who he is. Exactly. So, and I generally developed the character for the next 6 years pretty much straight on. And there was a time when I left and did some other work for the website that we had been developing, nuke.com. I did that for about a year, and then I came back to the magazine for about another year before I finally left. And I went back to work with Steve Harris on a new venture when Ziff Davis bought the magazine. So there you have it.
So so you left when Steve Harris did, is that correct?
Well, Steve actually left before. I mean, he was the founder of the magazine, and they had a deal where all the old editors had to stay on for about a year after the takeover. So after that year was up, so were we. So
oh, I gotcha.
Their first task was to pretty much try to get rid of all the old school people. And I got to commend Terry because he lasted, I think, the longest of all of us.
That lasted two buyouts, actually.
Yes, he did great. So Steve started MVP Media, which was next door. It was in the same building in Lombard, Illinois, and so when my time was up, and they were like, you know, well, you know, we're not going to keep you on here, I'm like, okay, Steve's got a job over here. You know, oh, what's it, what are you paying? The same amount? Okay, fine. See you later. There was no love lost there.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so I was not a big fan of the corporate machine. So.
Well, they just didn't like Street Fighter, did they?
They all sucked at it. There was no competition anymore. I mean, there was nothing.
We got to get rid of that Ken guy. He's kicking her ass.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. Making them all look bad.
We just can't beat him. He's got to go.
So what's keeping you guys busy nowadays?
Well, we are in a new venture called Video Game Evolution. And the short name for that is VG Evo. And most people call it by VG Evo. And it's basically a social networking portal where you can have a one-stop shop to get all your gaming needs, which includes news and reviews and previews, and also a lot of forums, talk, and a nice little shout box that everybody loves to use.
It's a great place to basically meet other people that are not jerks. They're, you know, hopefully the majority of people that we hang out with are not jerks. And then, you know, you get to say, hey, you know, let's go play Resistance or something, you know, and we'll, you know, jump online. At least most people will. So,
It tends to be a pretty friendly portal because most people get along and we kind of let people have their own opinions and everybody pretty much respects that. So that's kind of what makes it good because the people there end up being pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, our biggest rule is basically no flame wars, you know.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Really just don't, you know, if you want to argue like that, take it private. Don't do it in front of everybody else. We don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Right.
So then we just have like a lot of moderators that are across different countries, which usually gets us a lot of freedom.
Coverage throughout
the day and throughout the night, which is nice because then we don't have to be there 24/7 and look at everything. So
because we actually do have real jobs.
Yeah, we have real jobs. Besides,
we would love for this to be our real job, but you know, you guys don't pay us enough. So that's the reality of it. So
start paying us, and then we'll do even better for you.
Yeah, this is basically a labor of love at this point, and we're just doing what we can to develop it, promote it. And it's only a year old, so I think we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, you are actually. You've got quite a few followers, and you're doing a great job on the board. And I want to reiterate that, you know, the main draw to the forums for me is the community there. And there is a very, very strong sense of community. And everybody is extremely respectful of one another. And I know that that's a really hard thing to maintain. So,
especially when people are talking about video games, because there's so much like fanboy hate going around, and you know, it seems to be very much under control at VG Evo, and that's what makes it such a draw for me.
It's a rarity nowadays.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Allowing people to have their own opinion is a big deal for me, especially. I mean, look where I came from. I mean, I was Sushi X. I mean, people still hate me for my Game Boy views, which I still hold to these days. You know, but that's me. I'm entitled to my own opinion, and if you don't like it, go scratch. I mean, that's my opinion, you know, but I'm not going to hate you for it because you don't like what I said. I mean, that's just the nature of the game, you know, just, you know, everybody has their own mind, and that's, you know, that's the way you keep diversity. If everybody thinks the same way, I mean, we're talking the Borg here. This is boring. You know, that basically you've become corporate. You're not a real community.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, definitely want to pimp you guys out. Everyone should go check out VG Evo. They have a great network of podcasts over there that Terry and Ken set up forums for. Some of those are PlayStation Nation, which you guys know, or which a lot of people know. VG Pub on Tap, Broadcast Gamer, Welcome to the Goo. It's just a few of the podcasts that post their shows over there. And you know, community is just awesome, and the podcasts that are over there are just great also. So definitely suggest everyone going to check it out.
Definitely. And you know what? We actually have someone that emailed some questions for Ken and Terry. So if you don't mind me.
Whoa.
I'm going to go right into it. This is from Ravenblade.
Yeah, look out.
And he's got three questions. Number one, Terry and Ken, don't you two wish you had banned Chris when he joined VG Evo? Look at all the bother he's caused since he's joined, and he's a total smeghead as well. Not only do we have to deal with all the spamming he does, but he brought this damn plague of a podcast to the site as well. And look how he treats his poor Jeff and Jason, making them do this podcast with him by holding Jason's World of Warcraft account hostage and threatening to leave Jeff's wobbly pops in the sun. He's evil, I tell you. Evil.
That's somehow I get the feeling Raven Blade didn't really write that one.
Do you guys regret letting Chris stay? Or
only some days? No, I'm just kidding. No, we're kidding. No, we love Chris. Chris is,
we'll
Chris
let
is a
you
great
know
guy.
At the end of the podcast.
We're holding judgments. Yeah, your opinions might change.
Yeah, yes. We'll see how this
the
podcast
whole show
goes.
Box might not be so civil after this.
Exactly.
All right. Question number two. Which of the new Street Fighter 4 characters are you looking forward to the most? For me, it's C. Viper. She easily looks like the best character in the game I've seen so far. Seems like her and Blanca are about the only two who don't have really clunky-looking animations to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, Blanca fan.
Terry,
yeah,
you're a Blanca fan.
Right? I agree with Blanca. Yeah, because if you look at my avatar, it's Blanca. Right. Street Fighter 4 Blanca, to be exact.
Strangely enough for me, Alex is probably the one I'm most interested in checking out, just because he's got a unique hand-to-hand fighting style, mm-hmm. and it seems more in line with the Street Fighter universe that I'm used to.
Yeah,
a lot less like Fatal Fury / whatever Neo Geo style character, art King of fighting Fighters. Character. I mean, King mm-hmm. of Fighters and stuff. I mean, that's what a lot of these new characters seem to be based off of. Mm-hmm. Alex seems to be fairly unique in that sense. So that was the one that intrigued me the most.
I'm with you on that, actually. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the new C. Viper. Yeah, we've made this comment before in the show that she looks like she's straight out of the Neo Geo camp, yeah. which is a little, not unsettling, but just interesting.
Because of the suit, I think.
Yeah, you think so?
That's what she's wearing, yeah.
It's a big bouffant hair. Yeah, I don't know. I'm moving on. Anyway, question number three. Finally, Terry and Ken. I've said this before, but thanks for the fantastic website you have given us all. Easily the best gaming site I've had the pleasure to be a member of, thanks to all the hard work you guys put in, and the great community we have there, and the great podcasts it's home to. Minus the one, of course. I assume he means this one. Hopefully it continues to grow and become more successful, so you can start paying me for my moderator duties. All joking aside, though, thanks for all your effort. Signed, Ravenblade.
Yeah, Ravenblade's our great moderator. moderator. And
he's a cool
guy. We wish we could pay you, dude, but we got to get paid first.
Yeah. It's a trickle down effect.
Exactly.
Yeah, you never know. We might have good perks available, in the future. We'll keep that in mind. We'll know who's, helping us out and who's not.
Yeah.
And, we're not, we're definitely, the friendly, outgoing type, and we're not going to forget, our friends. So.
Oh, yeah.
Hang in there with us, and I'm going to, continue developing the site with Terry, and we take everybody's ideas into consideration, even though it's our, we'll make the final decision, but, please send in your thoughts and ideas on how we can improve the site. We really want to hear from people.
Yeah, definitely. We love the feedback.
What are the odds that don't I worry, get, like, I'm a sure signed that... Terry Trickman photograph?
What's that?
What are the odds that I could get, a signed Trickman Terry autograph?
Well,
got five
like
bucks.
Photograph.
Yeah, you got $5.
Go.
It's right there.
That's how we make
right
the monies.
It's right there on the site.
I do want one of those.
We'll talk.
They're awesome. That's cool. Anyway, that's Raven stuff. The rest is actually about the question of the week. Believe it or not.
Okay. I did see one forum post that I thought was an interesting question, and I'm not even sure if you guys will be able to comment about it or not. But I wanted to throw it at you, and if you guys want to throw out the question, we can do that. But this is actually from SS Gogeta on Gamers Liberation Front, and his question is it true that an entire issue's reviews were not done by the review crew themselves, but by one other person? There was a big thing about this because Steve Harris' policies before he sold the magazine.
Is he referring to before or after the buyout?
It sounds like after. There was a big thing about this because of Steve Harris's policies before he sold the magazine. Or maybe he is talking about before it.
We each did our own reviews. I mean,
if he's talking about ghostwriters, then all I remember is that there were a few subsequent magazines that were in there, like Super Gaming and Mega Play and Super Nintendo Buyer's Guide, which had completely different names, but they ended up being the same reviewers that were on EGM. They weren't completely new people.
I'm trying to.
Well, there was a time when, like I said, when I was working on like Nuke, it was like whoever was available did the Sushi X reviews.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what he's referring to, or.
And there was a little bit of crossover, I believe, with Ed Samrat. Ed Samrat as well, when he couldn't do some. Somebody may have done. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Johnston might have helped out with some of his reviews, just because
possibly
Ed did a lot of his reviews at first, and after that, you know, I never saw him doing his reviews. All he knows, they showed up, so I couldn't tell you.
But that's all speculation right now. So, I mean, unfortunately, we don't have any definitive for you.
Believe me,
point.
If I could confirm it, I would. I have no love for that old period. That's fine. I just know that I did mine, so I can tell you that for sure.
And I did none because I wasn't on the review group.
Terry did not.
Right.
You got me awesome, like, cheat codes and stuff.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I did it all for you, man.
Thank you. You know, I often wondered as a kid, like, how the hell you came up with this stuff. I'm like, does he just sit there with a controller and just randomly hit shit? And just, you know, it's like, oh, infinite lives. Wow.
Yeah. No, that was it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Terry figured out the Konami code all by himself.
Yep.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I'm actually looking at an old DGM right now with Terry in the back, Tricks of the Trade. He's like hopping out of this 20 like, bucks letter O or something like that. On the cover. It's goofy as hell. It's awesome.
What was I hopping out of?
This letter O or something. It's like a circle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm like bursting out with a big foot coming out. Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah. That one actually made it on a Nintendo 64 Tricks poster that's actually on my wall in a frame right now. So yeah.
Oh, nice.
I know that one very, right very, very much.
Cool. So. Chris, give us the topic.
Cool. Well, let's talk about online versus print. I know that. I mean, I figured that the reason we have Terry and Ken on the show today is mainly because, I mean, they've been awesome. In the print world, and right now they're doing a lot in the online world. So who better to have on the show, right? Mm-hmm. So let's get started. And we kind of talked, somebody's email actually came in and said that he was looking at news. So let's start with news. I mean, what kind of news do you even, video game news do you even get from magazines anymore? I mean, I have Game Informer, and most of the stuff that I look in Game Informer is, you know, previews and reviews and stuff like that. Really, but I don't usually see like as much news as I used to. And I think that's directly because of online. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, really none. I mean, you look at a magazine nowadays, the stuff that they're talking about in there was talked about 2 months ago. You can't get around the lead time for print. I mean, there's just no way around it unless you have like a weekly magazine. So if you're going to look for any news, I hope you can speak Japanese or read Japanese, because that's the only place you're probably going to get any.
Yeah.
You know, so because by the time, you know, it hits the shelves, you know, it's already been discussed online ad nauseum.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because of the internet that magazines really can't print any news anymore unless it was an exclusive that was held back, and that's it.
And those exclusives have to be pretty hard to secure, right?
Yeah, there has to be some sort of like NDA, non-disclosure agreement.
Right. And a pretty powerful one at that, because you have to be able to put it in the writing nowadays that it cannot be released, you know, on the internet or any other medium other than the print medium. Because it will get leaked out. Yeah, and unfortunately, even with that, you know, jaws do flap, and so all it takes is the wrong person to overhear something, and your NDA is worth nothing. So even if you didn't technically say anything.
Yeah. You signed an NDA, but you told your best friend, who then told another friend, who told another friend, that's it.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, Kotaku has it posted, and you know, the whole freaking world knows.
Exactly.
So, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that with Play
3, right?
Yeah, you know, I have another perfect example of that is when the Street Fighter IV exclusive for the EGM was coming out. I don't know about you, but I read the whole thing long before it got into print. Mm-hmm. I mean, the actual articles were leaked online before it even got into subscribers' hands.
Hmm.
So, I mean, right there, even though that's a perfect exclusive that they had, you know, the screenshots that only they had. I mean, how many people didn't already see all those screenshots already?
Right.
I mean, if I remember correctly, didn't a certain somebody get in big trouble for that?
Somebody did.
Not sure.
So, yeah, there was a website that got in huge trouble for that.
Yeah.
Because they printed these.
I think
these...
they actually grabbed the images like off of the EGM, like FTP or something.
Yeah, I don't know all the details, so I'm not going to like.
Grabbed it. Yes. speculation, really.
Yeah, it's all speculation, but right. Supposed, you know, EGM contributing person, you know, had access to a server that had the images on it. Yeah, but exactly. I mean, but that's exactly, you know, the kind of thing that the internet brings up, is that it's so quick and fast in its delivery method. You just can't get around it. I mean, even if you try to hide stuff, I mean, you have to be like pros at it. I mean, mm-hmm. unless you're the government, I don't know if anybody else can, you know, compare.
Well, yeah, I've got an email here along the same vein here. This is from FabCam, and he says, "Hi, Indus family. I'm a longtime listener of the show and just wanted to answer your question of the week. I get the majority of my news from online forums, as they seem to be the quickest to update. The second is a story breaks, it's on the forums where heated debate ensues. My second port of call are the independent blogs such as Joystick and Kotaku, as they seem to put humorous spin onto sometimes boring news. However, I take everything I see on the net with a very small pinch of salt. Rumors spread so easily, and simple quotes get taken out of context, e.g. Kojima disappointed with MGS4, which makes me question everything I read. This is why I buy magazines for news instead of relying solely on the internet. I only buy official magazines, as they publish news that has been given to them directly from my crony Tendo." That's my crow. Anyway. Okay. "I also enjoy actually reading something physical. I would prefer to sit down and read a well-written article with nice screenshots, and rather than sift through CD sites filled with system war crap and false rumors. I hope that online sites and gaming mags can live in harmony with each other, and I think 1UP with EGM is a great way of mixing publications with blog posting. Unfortunately, I can't get EGM where I live, and the nearest to the 1UP EGM partnership I can get to Eurogamer, or that I can get, is Eurogamer/Edge. One bad mag coupled with one bad site. Great. Hope my email wasn't too long. Keep up the good work. FabCam from Merry Old Ingerland." Thank you, FabCam.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What else can you say? I mean, he's right. I mean, what you're going to get online may not necessarily be accurate, but there's a pretty high percentage of accuracy out there. I mean, even if you're close, that's usually good enough for most people. And the truth will come out eventually. Yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. there's a bit of hysteria where people will go out and they'll be searching for news, you know, about a certain topic. I can only, again, relate to the Street Fighter 4 thing. When the first screenshots came out, one of the first things I did was I went to see where else could I find more screenshots. And I can't do that with a magazine. So, again, magazines are great. And, yeah, you can take them into the toilet with you. That's fine. But, you know, I don't know. We got wireless. We got wireless computers now too. So technically, you could bring that in there. Laptop.
Well, they do call them laptops, so that would kind of work.
Yeah.
But
it's
a perfect little desk.
I'm kidding.
You brought up the topic about rumors and stuff, and how everyone jumps all over them on the internet. I found like the last like year or so, when people get their subscription in the mail, they get their issue, and one of the first things they'll post, say from EGM, is like the quarter man's rumor mill kind of thing, and I find a lot, like lately especially, a lot of what's posted in those becomes reality. Like a lot of it. So it has me kind of wondering if maybe magazines now are kind of getting the inside scoop and basically, hey, throw us in your rumor section, that's fine. It can be kind of like off the record, on the record kind of thing. Because if you take a look at past issues, like they called out the BioShock and PS3, they called out all the price drops that have happened, even Street Fighter 4, Capcom working on Street Fighter 4, the beta for the Street Fighter 2 HD. Mm-hmm. being packed in with Commando 3. Like, all these happened in the last few months. And it makes you wonder, like, do you think these guys are getting it kind of like an inside scoop, but they're saying, listen, put it in your rumor mill. No one will ask questions. People will just be like, could be true, could not be true. And kind of as an incentive for people to keep buying the magazine, because that's a lot of juicy stuff comes from that section.
That's true.
It seems.
It seems that they're probably getting the information. I don't know if they're being given it to put in Quarterman. Because, mm-hmm. as I remember it, Quarterman was mostly rumors that were, you know, either something that were, you know, major guesses, or they were or they were based on some facts that were heard of something possibly coming. So I don't think that any companies per se would say, yeah, this and this, but you know, you can put it in Quarterman, but don't put it in a preview. You know.
But do you think that could have changed, though, because of publications, because these like magazines aren't doing as well as this because of the internet, that things have changed maybe since then? They're saying, okay, listen, because they don't want to release things, of course, right away. They all have certain dates without release information to the public, but in a kind of like a little kind of way to let them kind of say, okay, listen, like, because it's a very popular thing. Like, go on there, you'll see what's Quarterman say. Oh, you missed Quarterman's posting or whatever, and or whatever rumor with whatever magazine. It's just, do you think that's a possibility at all? Just over time, because
well, I know that a lot of the Quarterman stuff that used to come in, I mean, some there was a few legitimate, like, we overheard this sales team talking something over here, so we're going to blow it up a little bit and try to get a little hype going. But a lot of times, these companies, believe it or not, their marketing teams, they want us to give out little tidbits here and there. They want to get the hysteria going because people like to hear things like that. They'll drop hints, basically, and it's up to the editorial staff to, you know, run with it. And as Terry said, sometimes, you know, expound upon it. They usually get sometimes enough details to say, yeah, we could say a sequel to this is going to be coming out in the next couple of years or year or something, you know, and then they'll run with it. You know, it's that's basically how the rumor mill started. It's not like, you know, they're wiretapping the offices and, you know anything like that. I seriously doubt there's any money being transferred here and there, like, you know.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Late night handoffs or anything. It's just pretty straightforward. And the companies are complicit. I mean, they have a good say in what gets printed. I mean, they really do. And
Especially nowadays.
They're the big thing now is the control of information. With the internet out there, you have to control the information that gets out, and that's what the NDAs are for. And they can go up and say, look, you know, we're working on this, we're developing it, we want to start getting some, you know, getting some hype. We can't give you all the details, but you know, you can at least say that we're working on it. And that's it. And a little piece of information like that is perfect for Quarterman because it's pretty much a guaranteed rumor because there's no real details. It could just be a headline. And then you can run with it. And then when it comes true, when the company themselves decides to actually come out and confirm it, then Quarterman looks like a hero. And that could go for anybody who runs these kind of, you know, rumor mill kind of things. So
yeah, right.
It's pretty straightforward. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed.
Well, those most rumors and speculations can end up leading to larger features from different companies, like bigger features and bigger previews. Based on those rumors, I mean, is that something that, you know, if they stick to the non-disclosure agreement and they keep those rumors like under wraps for the most part, you think that's something that's more enticing for them to give them those previews?
Well, of course. I mean, anytime you can, you know, control the rollout of your new product, it's great. One thing that I look at least for the rumors portion of it, one thing I would look at as a marketer is the project that we're working on even a viable product? I mean, if there's no hype generated from letting out a little rumor, you know, you're going to have to look at your product and say, maybe it's not exciting to the public.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, you know, if you put out a little rumor and all of a sudden the internet's ablaze, like, oh, this is going to happen, or, you know, Kojima's working on a new project, or, you know, if that's the kind of hype that you get from a simple rumor, the company's probably going to be a lot more willing to put some funds into your project.
Right.
Okay.
The money.
What goes into, like, do you guys have any information on what might go into, like, getting exclusivity on something like a preview or like a big feature for a game coming up?
Yeah, we see magazines like Game Informer that has exclusives practically every month. And they get quoted an awful lot. People snag the screenshots from their upcoming issues and post them on the internet before they're even out. So,
I'll say it again. Follow the money. Who has the biggest subscription base?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why wouldn't you put it where you're going to, why wouldn't you give out your exclusive to who is going to give you the most coverage? It just makes monetary sense.
Yeah, and I guess
how do you explain Resistance 2 and GamePro?
GamePro probably paid for some of that. But you know, Game Informer probably has quite a big subscription base considering they're with GameStop and they're part of the whole Edge program that they've got over there.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean, they're pretty much giving those subscriptions away. Like every time you buy something there or sell something there, they're like, here, you know, I mean, they've got a built-in sales force for the magazine. So, of course, it's a huge subscription base.
Yeah.
Sure.
Very true. Well, Jason, do we have any other emails to go into?
Yeah, we got a couple more, actually. I'm going to read one from Aces High. And he says, hello, Indus crew, and a very special hello to Trickman Terry and Ken Williams.
Hey, sorry, there.
Hello.
He also apologizes to us for not giving us a very special hello.
Screw you, Aces.
Fine, I'll give you a special hello.
Long email, special. But before you get to it, I would love to say, go VG Evo! I'm cutting this guy off, man. Jeez.
Need some pom-poms for that guy.
Yeah. Nice.
For the question of the week, I'll be using gaming news since it's what I'm used to. Print versus the interwebs. I love print, to put it simply. I subscribe to 3 gaming magazines, and I love every one of them. I'm not sure if many other people feel like this, but the whole print thing that just seems more personal to me. I feel like I get to know the people who write for the magazine, know their personalities, their likes, their dislikes in games. That may sound weird to some people, but I don't think it's possible to build that relationship in the online format. The online format that is usually just a small article that sometimes does not even have the author's name attached. The online format that so few articles are actually written by someone of the website reporting it. With that said, I think it's fair to point out that during this day and age, albeit said that print is dying out. People have almost no incentive to pay for a subscription, something that they only receive only once a month. News breaks every day, and yes, I do check news for gamers almost hourly since I'm on summer break. While internet is the wave of the future, and is in most counts already here, as the main source for gaming news of the masses. I find it very sad that the print form of media in the gaming world could very well be gone in the next couple of years. I can only hope that journalists whose work I love to read continue to be journalists so I can continue to read. That's from Aces High. Thank you, sir.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. Online nice personalities.
Yeah, we have a couple right here. He talks about the thing that stood out most in my mind when he started talking about it is the relationship built with the magazines compared to the online. I mean, when you guys read a review or something like that in a magazine compared to online, do you guys feel any more like bonded with the person who's writing that review?
I do, and I think I have traditionally. You know, when growing up reading magazines, I used to idolize, you know, a lot of people. Simply because I think that there was a lot of personality thrown into the reviews. That's just my take on it. Not only that, but they always had sections in the beginning of the magazine where they kind of give, you know, what they're into, what they're playing, this and all that. And I don't really feel like I get that in online, because a lot of online articles are just simply blog posts. They're kind of impersonal. Oh, yeah. You don't get a lot of personality.
And very short.
Exactly. So I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, well, through the articles, definitely. Through podcasts like that online, I find you get the personalities much better for obvious reasons because you're listening to them speak over and over again. So that makes sense.
True.
Kind of like us. I know Jason and Chris from their voice only.
Yeah, and that's kind of something that Jason's I was going to bring asshole. Up, Jeff, is the fact that like with online reviews and things like that, I mean, I actually find more of a personal connection with the people doing reviews because I hear them on podcasts. So like when I listen to One Up Yours, for instance, and like I hear Shane and Garnet and all those others, I mean I get more of a connection with them, so that, you know, when I go and I see their reviews online, I feel more of a like a relationship there because of the fact that I know that X person has kind of the taste that I do, so I'm gonna, you know, put more mm-hmm. weight on their review.
100%, yeah. And also back at like in EGM days, when Ken and Terry were there, all their reviews had, like Ken said, they had like the little pictures. There's the Red Ninja for Sushi X, and they all had little caricatures sort of things beside, and they had like the big numbers, and they had the review on top of the number kind of thing. It's like transparent. And I remember when I was younger reading that, I knew right away who the review was because of the picture. And then I was like, okay, I know this person kind of likes these kind of games because I got used to seeing those caricatures in the magazine everywhere and in the review section. So in those days, I definitely felt it even in print. But nowadays, like in EGM and some, they have real pictures of like what the people actually look like a real picture, and people's look changes constantly, and they usually have a new picture every month, so it kind of takes, you have to take a second look at, who is this? Oh, okay, cool. If you don't know the people by name anyway, like, oh, the same guy reviewed this, and I find it's kind of harder to kind of draw a relation or kind of level with them sort of deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's a lot of differences from when Terry and I were on the magazine versus, you know, the current generation. I think we're like, what, 2 generations since then?
Yeah.
The way that the reviews are done are far different than what we used to do. I mean, we literally, the four main reviewers in our magazine, we had to play every single game that came through. Nowadays, if you look online, it's like you get, they have like, I think, what was it? We looked and EGM has like 26 possible reviewers and they picked 10 for that month to do all of the reviews. So only, you only get a couple of opinions per game. And if you only
relate between two and three,
if you only relate to maybe a couple of people in that, you know, selection there, you may not get the review you're looking for, you know, and that's not necessarily to say it's a bad thing, but it sure would be nice to see what, you know, if you have like that favorite reviewer, you know, you want, it would be nice to be able to find what they think about some of these games. And something like that might be a great way for a magazine out there to really tie in their online component, where maybe if the print only can show, because they only have limited space and paper's really expensive, maybe they can only show a couple of people doing review, but maybe some of these other people, the regular reviewers, can also review those games, but keep that on the online component. That way you can mix the two together and get a full review on that game.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, one of my favorite things in the EGM, believe it or not, and Terry's going to laugh because it was his little section. I don't know if any of you guys remember this. It was always, it was like the life and times of Trickman Terry.
Yep.
You know, and the woe of his car and, you know, whatever else was going, whatever else was going on in his life. A little soap opera in the magazine, basically.
Drinking Mountain Dew, eating ravioli, canned ravioli. Yeah.
Yeah. Chef Boyardee.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Yep. Yeah, all that fun stuff.
Well, I can certainly attest to the love of personalities in gaming magazines. I used to love a magazine called Game Fan, and there was one particular reviewer in there called Nick Rocks, and I always looked forward to his stuff because, you know, he was into, you know, Japanese stuff. He's into RPGs and fighting games, and it was actually the same for Sushi X. And I'm looking at this magazine right now, and you've got like a moves list for Clay Fighter 63 and a third. Thank you so much for that. But I always look forward to, you know, to your stuff because you were huge into fighting games, and you probably made, you know, me the Street Fighter lover that I am today. And thank you, by the way, for inadvertently causing me to play Street Fighter for hours on end trying to get Shang Long.
Yeah. That was a joint effort by us, so thank you.
Bastards, a lot of you.
Yeah, the money I spent.
Mostly Ken, though.
And the great thing about that is that to this day they still mention that.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Like at 1UP and on their podcast and stuff like that. To this day they still mention that particular April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm. Well, people say that Akuma is based on him.
Yep. So, oh, I firmly believe he is.
I'm still waiting for my royalty check.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Capcom, if you're listening, I need money. Send it now.
Yeah, Ken, let us know when you get that.
All right, I've got a couple more emails here. Let me get to one from Samdu. He says, I get my info from both print and online, but more and more I'm noticing that the print magazines are reducing content and pages and increasing the duration of ads to content at the same time. I suspect that this is because of bean counters running things, but in the end, I think this will doom many more magazines over the next several years. There's a problem of print lag compared to online, but the print mag should see this as an opportunity rather than an advantage. When people surf the net, they're generally looking for very short bursts of information, so they're normally not on your site for very long. When people read a magazine, unless it's in a doctor's office or something, that magazine has a captive audience that's more attentive and probably will spend more time with the publication than they would on a website. So what the print magazine should be doing is more in-depth articles on all aspects of gaming. It's not enough to have one or two several page features per issue and have the rest simply duplicate sound bits, bytes of information that, essentially, with an enthusiast magazine, most readers probably already know. Print magazines have the opportunity to elevate gaming journalism into a position more in line with the real press, but they consistently pass that opportunity up, with rare exceptions here and there, instead of probing the industry. They tend to come up with dick jokes. And they should just abandon the rumors and speculation completely. Like I said above, by the time a print magazine comes out, none of the rumors are timely. Some have already either come to pass or have been debunked. That said, I still subscribe to a couple of print magazines for the features. It's just that I'd prefer more meat like that than we're currently getting in any print magazines. Mm-hmm. Sam Dew.
Thank you, Sam Dew.
True dat.
Hit that on the head.
Yeah. Yep. Nailed it completely. Yeah. It's basically exactly like you said. You know, if you can't do the quick hits in the magazines anymore, you just can't. There's no way you're going to be a formidable force in the industry anymore, because it's all online first. So you're going to have to do some sort of feature, just like you said, a longer feature with more in-depth information would be great. Mm-hmm. And you've got to have a niche. You've got to have some sort of niche that nobody else has that mm-hmm. people are going to want to gravitate to. So, you know, exactly. He nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the main reasons why I keep subscribing, not only just for the features, it's because I like the visual presentation. Much better than I do online. You know, as Sam Dew mentioned, you know, there's short bursts of information, there's short blog posts or whatever. It's littered with ads all over the page. But, you know, in a magazine, you can have a, you know, full two-page layout, you know, with, you know, text expanding the entire, you know, two pages and images sprawled across there. And it's all, you know, well thought out and it's visually appealing. And I appreciate that kind of presentation sometimes.
Yes, it's worth, but he mentioned how thin magazines are getting now, and well, thin in terms of content, but thick in regards to advertising. And the prices for magazines these days haven't exactly gone down. In fact, they're probably more expensive than they ever have been.
You think so?
Oh, I remember, I don't, well, back when I was younger, I can't remember how much EGM was, like $5 maybe, and now is an EGM about $8?
Yeah, well, I don't know. All magazines have gone up in price. I mean, yeah. paper
inflation.
Gone down.
Yeah, exactly.
And now that gas is as high as it is, I mean, it costs money to just get the magazines to where they need to be. So mm-hmm. your distribution costs have gone up higher. And mm-hmm. let's face it, I mean, it's a dying medium. It's hard to get the same ad dollars when you're not going to get the same punch. It's just not quite there. And it's just part of the transition, and it seems to be a fairly natural process. And as long as they know how to adapt and do more features, more exclusives. I mean, it has to be exclusive. Right. If it's not exclusive, you're wasting your time.
Right.
I mean, presentation, yeah. I mean, is okay, but, you know, if you've already read it online, you're just, okay, I'm looking at a pretty picture is all you're doing. And that's not going to hold your interest that long. But if you have new information or more in-depth interviews or anything else that you haven't published online, that kind of stuff is interesting. You know, and that's something mm-hmm. worth reading that you're not going to get anywhere else.
Right.
But that brings you to, because of the size of it and how much you pay, I love the features, and especially like in the magazines. I love when they have exclusives. That's mainly the main reason I buy them. I still buy quite a few magazines every month. But I find, besides the feature, everything else in the magazines are exactly what you're getting online. Just a quick, like sometimes paragraph long previews.
Yeah, little previews.
Like, yeah, a few sentence long, like, not reviews, but they'll have like the pros and cons, okay, get that on the internet. But besides the features, everything is still kind of short and to the point, minus of course a few interviews here and there, which are actually really informative, most of the time done really well. Do you guys think that it's worth it though? Still, like, I think what magazines should start doing is they always get one exclusive per month, and I don't think that's enough if they want to sell consistently. Because to tell the truth, I skim through the magazine, I read what I really want to read first, and half the time, besides like the big features, I either know it already, or I can get the same information online, or get more information online.
Yeah,
I think they should start getting. I think they should go for more features, more exclusives per month instead of putting on a per month basis. I think that'd be better for them in the long run.
If I'm a developer, or a marketing company for a developer, I want top billing.
Uh-huh, you know? Of course.
And in that case, it's going to be tough to get everybody, you know, to get multiple features, you know, per month. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants front cover or whatnot, so.
Yeah, it's a give and take. But like I kind of said before, that niche market is really the important thing, because since it is everywhere else, your typical EGM and Game Informer and all those other magazines are going to have the exact same information that is already on the internet maybe 2 months before, just because of lead time. One magazine that I've subscribed to is Game Room Magazine, and that has a whole lot of niche articles in it. And the reason I love it so much is because, and I read it cover to cover, basically because it's got all the types of stuff that I want to see that is not all over the internet. So
It's almost entirely features.
Yeah, yeah, it's entirely features, like all throughout the whole entire magazine, which is exactly what I'm looking for. So if somebody like an EGM or a Game Informer did a lot more features and kind of just, you know, cut out some of the reviews and all the little quick hits were either you know, non-existent or just, you know, down to like maybe one or two, they probably could just tout that as an expansion to the web, or to their web presence, or, you know, or the other way around.
Well, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at this transition. It's a really interesting time to be paying attention to this, because we're really at the forefront with bandwidth becoming so much cheaper and so much more available to everyone across the world. Honestly, online is now taking over the once heralded place of the print magazine, whereas early on your online component was the, you know, the companion, basically, you know, we're looking at a case of, you know, where the student is surpassing the master, basically. And now you go to online first, and maybe, you know, if as long as, you know, there's something interesting to read, you'll read the magazine. Whereas before, it was like you'd read the magazine and maybe there'd be something online, some cool additional interactive content that went with an article in the magazine. Yeah. Now it's the other way around.
It is completely switching around.
It's right in that middle of that transition. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle this.
Yeah, and it does seem like what Jeff was talking about and what you guys were talking about is kind of, you know, right in the way that print magazines are all about the features, because that's what draws me to read like the latest Game Informer, because Infamous was the feature for PS3 and I'm dying to see that game, and I haven't seen anything on it online, so of course I'm gonna, you know, run right after the magazine and read it.
I've got it right in front of me.
Yeah, throw your, you know, hold back your pictures for the magazine. Hold back a lot of the coolest pictures for the magazine. Keep it in there. Make it a large feature, and just make it, you know, the extension to your online web component, your online website. So there you go.
All right. Well, speaking of new media and new ways to get captive audiences online, we have one more email. This is from Tears of Ash. He says, online media might be somewhat an established framework by now, varying from print publications in various ways. However, I was wondering what your spin on interactive publications, your spin on interactive journalism such as podcasts, videocasts, and things similar in nature to Future Inc.'s core. Do you think these sorts of things can coexist with print media, or do they make print journalism just as important as the glorious bathroom readers we've all come to know and love? Signed, Tears of Ash.
Podcast rule.
In this for the win.
Hell yeah. Terry's getting you for that. Invite back. Woo.
And that answers that email next.
Anyway, I mean, each one of those components have their own place in the industry. I mean, print will always have a place. I just can't tell you where it's going to end up, because it's dependent on the editors to determine their fate. I mean, they can go off to the wayside, but someone else will come up with something. You know, there's always going to be something. I mean, print's not going away. It's just diminished in its, you know, popularity and what it can actually provide as far as exclusive content. The online content, where you've got the core, Inside Xbox, the Nintendo channel, those are more, it's kind of like an extension of the main company itself.
Right.
And so that's a little different with as far as journalism goes. Whereas the podcast, that's kind of like talk radio, basically. It's like it's the free speech mecca, you know, where basically if you want to get more honest opinions, that's probably where you'd want to go.
Right.
You know, I'd rather hear, you know, say your guys' review or PlayStation Nation podcast review or the Goo reviews than any of these print magazines or any of these, the core or any of those, just because you're talking company line on one side, and then you're talking, you know, in your face, this is what I think, you know, reviews on the other. And so there's always going to be that happy medium that we're going to have to try to balance each other out. And I think podcasting is becoming a more popular medium as a side effect of the whole online phenomenon. I mean, let's face it. I mean, with the iPods being as popular as they are, you can take your favorite talk show, being a podcast, on the go. Listen to it on the train, in the car, you know, while you're eating your lunch, whatever. So that's a pretty powerful thing. And that's even can technically be more powerful than even a website, because you can't do a website. You can't check websites in any of the locations I just told you. You know, you could be out jogging and listening to a podcast. You could be in your car, listen to it on your radio. You know, if you're with your MP3 player, you know, it's a different medium. So I wouldn't group them all together like with something like Core or Inside Xbox or the Nintendo Channel at all.
True.
Right.
Yeah, it's more like advertising mediums.
In a way.
Well, those are kind of extensions. Those are like extensions, like I said, of the company where, you know, the Inside Xbox, it's like a daily thing. They come out with a little tidbit, a little preview, and they're very short and something you can check out once a day or once a week. You can just catch up pretty quickly on all the little bits that they put out. And same thing with the Core. I mean, you're getting a lot of exclusive information, a lot of exclusive abilities like the SOCOM beta if you're in the Core. You know, that, I mean, there's things you can do. They're trying to provide something exclusive that you can't get anywhere else, and that's pretty cool. So they're thinking about the same things that we're talking about.
Oh, for sure. But really, though, on the base of it all, it is technically advertising, because there's no way they're going to, like, Core or Inside Xbox are going to come up with any kind of reviews or kind of some kind of opinionated-based, like, anything in terms of information. It's going to be basically, here's this game coming out. This is cool. Check it out. It's basically all advertising done in a way that's not smack you in the face ads like
I think there's a difference between, you know, being informative and being, you know, and just flat out advertising.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, the Inside Xbox, you know, the Nintendo Channel and whatnot, they are being informative.
They have plenty of advertising.
There's plenty of advertising, especially in like the case of like Core or something like that.
Yeah, Core is
for sure. Like they're there to be informative, but the reason they're there is to have like the word spread about whatever product it is that they're informing you on. They want people to know about it. Because the Inside Xbox is, that's pure Microsoft, and Core is going to be all Sony. It's not like there's any third party companies that are going in there being like, okay, this is what we're going to show you guys. It's all under their control. Anything that goes on there is under control.
It's safe to assume that it's going to be a little biased. Yes.
Yes, for sure.
Oh yeah, of course.
Well, those are going to parallel with the official Xbox magazine. I mean, like, it's like OXM has a regular feature on Inside Xbox. I mean, they go hand in hand. You've got your online component and your print component.
Yeah,
you know,
That's all by feature publishing anyway.
Yeah,
so there you go.
And when it comes to something like Core Inside Xbox, I mean, that's more of the feature based publication anyway. You know, that's one of those things where I'm not really looking at for reviews or anything like that. I picked up the first episode of Core because I wanted to see the interviews and stuff about SOCOM. You know, and then there's the fact that you have to sit through the damn ads, but the meat of Core was the interviews, and that's much more than an advertisement. That's me getting a behind the scenes look at the game that I'm interested in.
Yeah, I'm not saying we don't want that information. I'm just saying the reason that's on there is to basically advertise to people the product, is to get the information out there. Like, that's technically, like, that's all that is. Like, even some people, you can go on and say that even these sites or even magazines are, in a way, version of advertising, because sure, it's opinionated, but they're still letting people know about these products coming out or that are already out. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's not like a direct form of advertisement, like, here's an ad, go buy this now. But the reason they're putting that on there is to give people more information on that product. So for people who normally wouldn't see it.
Sure. You know what I mean? It's just,
that makes sense.
It's just another medium to give it to the people. That's all. I mean, if magazine is just going to do it statically, this is going to do it with video. And, you know, if it's going to be like the official Sony publication or the official Xbox publication, you know, it's basically just like that, except it's video, you know, mostly, and then, you know, with some ads through, but, you know, you're getting the ads in the magazines too. It's just another medium to get the information to people, and then it's going to have the spin for whoever is controlling the information. That's all.
But that's a given. I mean, that's to be expected. I mean, obviously Nintendo Channel is going to, you know, highlight all the new Wii games that come out. I mean, that's just the way they're going to do it, and they're going to give you previews and, you know, little commercial spots that you can watch and things like that. And, you know, the Core is a little bit different. The way that it does their advertising, Terry pointed this out to me the other night when we were watching it, was the it actually has a Burger King ad in it, which was I mean, completely non-topical. It was, I mean, a lot of times you see an ad, it'll be like, you know, hey, you know,
check, for check another
out
game.
This, yeah. Check out this game. But no, this was literally, okay, I guess I'm feeling hungry now.
Yeah.
Play SOCOM,
eat a Whopper. Should I play SOCOM or eat a Whopper? I don't get it.
Exactly. What do I do? I'm confused.
Yes. We did find out one interesting thing about Core is that it seems that any ad that is longer than 15 seconds, you can quit. You can skip.
Mm-hmm.
But so all of the ones you can't skip are purposefully 15 seconds.
Really? Oh, yep. Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I there was a – before you go into the SOCOM information, like interviews and stuff, I think that's the one that has the Metal Gear Solid 4 advertisement.
Right.
Yeah, and if you wait 15 seconds and then you start hitting the X button, it will skip it.
Yeah, you'll actually see X button pop up on the bottom, and then you can hit it and you can go right past it.
Gotcha.
Oh,
well, I
did not know that.
Yeah.
So, one of the things that got me about Core, as far as like the whole advertising thing goes, is that, you know, while you're in Core, after you watch an ad once, it doesn't show up again. But as soon as you exit and come back, you have to watch those ads again.
Right.
Yep.
And saw that too.
That's kind of annoying. I mean, you would think that they would come up with a system to know that, you know, on exit, they should just save the information that you've already watched that ad and you don't have to watch it again unless you want to.
That would be nice. Yeah. I think they might have done that because they didn't want to save any information to the drive. Yeah. It's easier technologically. It's easier for them to deal with that.
Oh yeah,
because
of course.
Then yeah, I mean, it's like saving a cookie in a browser kind of thing. I mean, they could have done it, but you can imagine how much of a mess it'll end up being after you've watched, say, a year's worth.
Yeah,
you know, it'll just, you know, I don't know what they could do about that, but I would agree. Oh, I mean, it'd be nice to only have to watch them once. I don't mind watching them if you just only let me watch them once. And exactly. After that, I've already seen the content. I'm again, you know. So, how many times do I have to go watch the same content again? I'm not going to watch the same interviews over and over again.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, have you guys checked out like the official Xbox magazine? They have like demo discs included, and they've got all kinds of news previews, and you can unlock things inside of the disc. Like you have to watch so many ads, and you have to watch the ad in its entirety, and you score points, and eventually you unlock it like a gamer pick or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't subscribe.
That's
to that.
The only way they can sell.
Yeah, I mean,
you guys want to?
You've got to go ahead and you know, do something exclusive, or else, you know, nobody's going to want to see your, you know,
if
your media
demo disc when I can go on like right now and go download it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, unless it's an exclusive demo. I mean, other than that, then there's no point to having it.
Well, see,
and even exclusive demo sometimes doesn't work.
Yeah, that's actually something that kind of got me not too long ago because. You know, Xbox Magazine had on the demo disc that they had three downloadable tracks for Rock Band, one of them was by why is their name slipping my mind all of a sudden?
Freespop. What's it called?
It was one of them was by Freespop, and I really love all of like the music song, like the music game songs by Freespop. So the fact that I couldn't get my hands on that because I had the PS3 was frustrating. Yeah. I mean, I was like, Freespop song, come on. And then they eventually released it for 99 cents.
Well, yeah, they eventually released it, but I remember they had the exclusive, OXM had the exclusive to the Rainbow Six Vegas demo, but only in North America. And so I was like, oh crap, I gotta go buy that. But the day before the magazine was even released, the demo came out in Europe and in Japan because it was only exclusive in North America. So all these people were getting it for free, not having to buy the magazine, or they had, you know, the fake Japanese accounts or the fake European accounts, and they're downloading it from there. And I'm sitting there, I just paid $13 because that's how much it costs here with the freaking demo disc. I'm like, wow, I'm a chump. Because, and then I think they released it on Marketplace like very soon after that because people were complaining, like, why should these people get it for free? I'm paying Xbox Live. I'm paying $50 a year. Why can't I get this demo? Why do I have to spend like another $15 for a magazine to get it? So there's that whole big issue too. So if you're going to do it, if you're going to have an exclusive demo on a disc, make sure to do it right and make sure to get the exclusivity from everywhere.
You got that right.
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't even care for demo discs actually. I've gotten so many in the past and I don't think I've ever opened a single one of them just because I'm not interested in most of them. I mean, they're usually by the time, again, magazines are not timely anymore. By the time you even get the demo disc, I mean, you know, they want that demo in the player's hands so they can get their free beta testers. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the God honest truth because they really want, you know, the players to test this stuff and give them feedback so that they can fix the game and make it the best they can. The exclusive demo thing is actually hurting the developers more than anything. The only thing you could possibly do is if they already know they have a really polished product and they're just trying to drive up the hype and, you know, the whole, ooh, I've got it and you don't kind of thing, you know, that kind of, you know, I want to have it, I got to have it, you know, mentality. So,
mm-hmm. AKA Street Fighter 4 on Xbox only.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, I may have bought that the second time.
I was going to mention that to you. Yeah, Jason was going to wait till later. Yeah.
Well, that actually was a deciding factor for me of which version of Commando 3 I got. So, yeah. You know, I was like, I want to be in the beta for that.
Hey,
so,
Jason, which version of Commando 3 did you get?
Yeah, both. Okay.
See, I would almost do that, but, you know. Uh-huh. It's Commando 3.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of the things that gets me about that is that, you know, it's why do you release it only on, I mean, I kind of understand because of Xbox Live and all
installed
that.
Installed base, that's
but,
why. No, I don't know about that.
I can't play Street Fighter with that D-pad.
No, it's great.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. But I'd much rather play it on the PlayStation pads, but.
Yeah, or with a stick.
Yeah, well, stick, yeah,
tangent.
Definitely.
Tangent.
we're
going to.
I was going to say, I guess you can kind of blame Xbox Live for kind of stealing the last kind of ace in the Prince pocket was the demo disc that people did really crave, and now they can't even hold that over our heads.
Nope.
So, like, and now.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've noticed that a lot of magazines don't really give demo discs anymore anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's, well, there's no point.
Yeah, why bother? Yeah.
Well, it's too expensive.
At this point, the only time I ever get demo discs is like, you know, I'm part of PlayStation Underground. So, I mean, every once in a while, they'll just send you a demo for no particular reason. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I got the God of War. When God of War came out, I got the first one on PS2. I got the God of War demo like 3 months before the game came out. Same thing with Chains of Olympus. You know, I signed up and I ended up getting a Chains of Olympus demo for like 2 months before it came out and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's really the only demo discs I get anymore.
And I think Ken who just said that they're also the price of them. It's way too expensive for them to do that for the X amount of people that are going to buy it.
I mean, it costs a lot to get the disc. Yeah, the disc has to be pressed. They have to, you know, they have to get the content has to be developed for it. So you have to pay somebody to actually put that disc together. Yeah. The multimedia content for it, and then the shipping of it. Now you've just made your magazines twice as heavy, right. You know, and that costs money. That, I mean, again, follow the money. There's no real good monetary reason why you would want to keep a demo disc in on these magazines anymore. Especially given that, you know, you got Xbox Live, you've got the PlayStation Network. You can download these demos directly from your systems now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, what's the point of giving me a disc when I can just go home and let it download overnight?
Hell. Right. And now you don't even have to be home. Use your PSP, use Remote Play, and it's waiting for you when you get in.
That's exactly. Right.
Yep.
I mean, to me, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for the demo disc, I say.
I say you just hire a bunch of day workers and give them some CD coasters burners. Coasters for
all. Yes, coasters. That's what they are.
There you go.
The AOL discs of the past.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are the new AOL discs.
That's right. Well, then, let's... Since we've talked about it quite a bit, let's visit cost. I mean, are the subscriptions to the magazines, are they worth it anymore? I mean, considering, like, how much is a subscription to EGM now?
Free.
Terry has a trick for everyone.
Yeah,
that's right.
Put in the Konami code and get it for free.
I told you guys my funny story about how I got EGM, right?
No.
Like, last year? I don't know. It was shortly after I joined 1UP online. And then one day, I just randomly got an issue of EGM delivered to my house. And I was like, okay, weird. I guess it was kind of saying, you sign up at 1UP, you get a free copy of EGM. So next month comes by, and I have another copy of EGM. I'm like, this is really weird. Okay, maybe they're giving away free subscriptions. And then next thing you know, next month, I get another issue. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm like, I like EGM, but I didn't sign up for this. And then, of course, I get a little note that came with the third issue saying, hey, just to let you know, you haven't paid your... subscription, blah, blah, blah. It's this X amount. It was $9.99, which in Canada, by the way, is ridiculously cheap because any magazine subscription here, especially in regards to video games, you guys might pay like $15, $20. It's like $40 here.
Oh, yeah.
I guess because of delivery or whatnot, it's like way more expensive. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll sign up for it. So I I guess my first instinct is they're just going to, things like this, they'll just send out free issues, get people hooked kind of thing, and then listen, you get a subscription for this amount of dollars, and there you go. And because when they sent in my renewal thing, it wasn't going to be $9 to renew. It was something like 37, 35, or it was something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, no, thank you.
They hook you in first, and then they get you to resubscribe every year.
Yeah.
And that's just like, not with the video game magazines either. That's with all, you know, print magazines.
Yeah.
Pretty typical. So how much is a subscription of Game Informer if you walk into GameStop?
I do the whole Edge thing, and I've done it for the past 2 years now.
People in the real country of America, Jeff.
Yeah, I did that.
Real money.
Well, it's
not the Monopoly colored stuff.
That's right. it's through GameStop. It's $15 for a year's worth. Mm-hmm. And not only do you get the magazine, but you get 10% off all used games.
Right.
And, you know, that's here nor there. It's like 10%, yay. But the good thing about the Edge 10% is that it stacks on any coupons that you might have, too.
Yeah, true.
So,
$15 buy-in and you get a little bonus.
Right. And, you know, I mean, last year, with the discount that I got, my subscription pretty much paid for itself.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
We can't even buy them through our EBs here anymore.
Oh, really?
Probably for that, yeah, because I remember it first introduced, I think it was called GMR, right? I don't think it was called Game Informer. It was GMR magazine.
I think GMR was just through EB, maybe. I forget. It was one of the two.
Well, that's what
it may have been prior to the third merger.
I know I worked there, and we just kind of like, we had to be like, here you go, sell this Edge card, and ask anyone who gets an Edge card if you want to pay, like, it was like $9.99 for a subscription for this magazine, and we were told to push it and push it and push it. And a lot of people actually did get it, and eventually just stopped. And then Game Informer, of course, took its place. And then I was asking one day, because I've worked there for years, and like, no, we don't offer the subscription anymore through the stores. And my guess is, again, because in Canada, subscriptions are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. End of story. Go ahead.
Okay.
Back to the subscription. So I'm going to answer that question. Price. In Canada, no, the subscription costs are not worth it.
I can imagine that. Well, I can't certainly justify paying $25 for Core right now. Really, the only thing that's enticing me is, you know, the free game that they might offer, or, you know, the exclusive beta access. That's really about it, though. Everything I've seen on there, I'm sure I could pull up off of YouTube. And granted, yes, you know, they're HD videos and they're very pretty, but, you know, they're throwing ads in my face that I have to watch.
And they are significantly kind of more intrusive in Core than any other medium I've seen.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, $25 a year, not happening.
The Wii channel, have you guys tried that?
The Nintendo channel?
The Nintendo channel.
Nintendo channel, yeah.
I've looked at it a bit. Yeah. I didn't really see any ads, though. I mean, there's ads. But
they were all ads, really.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I saw interviews and stuff, too, but it actually says, like, Rock Band 30-second commercial spot, and you can either click on it or you don't have to. It's, you know, it's your choice. But then I saw, like, this 8-minute interview with the developers of, like, Guitar Hero on Tour, the DS one. And they were talking about it, and I'm like, you know, I mean, it's free. It's streaming. You know, I don't have to take up room on, you know, I don't have to take up any blocks of memory on the system. And it's a significant amount of content. You know, it's 7.5 minutes of stuff. Mm-hmm. And like Xbox, Inside Xbox, it's also free. And while I was in Inside Xbox, you know, it's got like, It has pages of what you're looking at. And, you know, every once in a while it'll be like an advertisement for go buy this game or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed is that the interviews that they did were at most like 2 or 3 minutes, and that's it.
Yeah, they're not long.
Yeah, they're not long at all.
Yeah, they're all very short, and they're all in SD format. And it looks like they hold about, what was it, like a little over a week? Maybe about a week's worth. And then once that that time frame is over, if you just go to the xbox.com/insidexbox, you'll find everything that they had there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. Just basically, you don't even have to have an Xbox to look at it. You just, if you have an Xbox Live, Xbox with Xbox Live, you can see it first. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing. That's the only thing. So,
and I haven't tried Core like you guys. Do you download it, and is it just there, or do you click on it and it has to download from like another point to get on your hard drive?
You download it's it, like and a, then you it's have like to a game. Install it. It's like 1.5 gig download, and then you've got to install the damn thing.
I don't right.
And then it's instant, though, right? You click on what you want to watch. It's instant, besides a 15-second ad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all right. Then you just kind of ditch it when you're done.
They even call it a game, which is really funny.
Yeah, it's
I'm like, what?
They just need to work out those categories.
So
they need to work on those categories.
Yeah, core to me is a bit pricey for what you're getting. I mean, the only thing that again, that could be good for someone like maybe like me who I have no games. So I mean, I just got a PS3. So now, like, I think they're giving away Calling All Cars. So I have which is awesome. And that's like $10, and you know that to me, okay, I just knocked $10 off of the price of core. So okay, now if they have like one more downloadable that I don't have, which will be all of the other ones that I want to play, then to me, all of us, it's already paid for itself.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, that's
hopefully they give Commando 3 away and Jason gets pissed.
But yeah, I mean, but that would be great for someone like me. But I mean, a lot of people I know, they already have these games, so that's not much of an incentive for those people.
Yeah, the only thing about
Calling All Cars, so it wasn't an incentive for me at all.
Right. The only thing about what they offered was that it was an older game that most people had. So
if it would have been a newer game, you know, it probably would have had a lot more success.
Or just a credit to use in the store.
I mean, exactly. And that's the real way they should do it. It should just be like, here's $10 to use in the store.
Yeah.
And what does that hurt them? Bandwidth cost? Come on.
It's a PSN card. You get a virtual PSN card.
Right.
There you go. Oh, well.
There's some vapor money.
Yeah. Itchy and scratchy money, as Savory called it.
they could go another step and give you like a 25% off coupon.
Yeah, exactly.
Work too.
You know, then it's up to you to what you pay for, and you know, Warhawk, here I come. But you know,
any three Rock Band songs.
Hell yeah, brother! Oh, you got to get Warhawk. Oh shit!
Yeah, you need to get Warhawk. Yeah.
So I have a question for you guys. Where do you see print magazine going? I know Ken mentioned that, you know, there's always going to be a little niche for it. It's always going to be some kind of presence. But I mean, we're seeing a lot of magazines. Game for Windows, Ziff Davis is in interesting shape.
Yeah,
I think they're trying for like Chapter 11. They're trying to sell off their print stuff.
You know, life support,
and they have been for a while. Where do you see this going?
Well, if you're talking in a general sense, magazines like, you know, like Game Room magazine, like Terry mentioned, those are niche markets. You don't find that information all aggregated in one location, or congregated in one location where you can read it and just get everything you need in one spot. Video game in general, though, that's everywhere. You can't go anywhere on the internet without finding something about video games. So it's a difficult question to give a blanket answer. Mm-hmm. So the niche markets, I think, are going to do really well.
Right.
And I think it's these general top console magazines that are hurting the most.
Yeah.
Right. Same thing with even PC gaming, as, you know, Games for Windows is a pretty obvious, you know, obvious example of that. Yeah. Where, again, with broadband being so prevalent as it is now, and it's so easy to download demos and get your news, and I mean, you can get your news right on these systems. I mean, you know, you can boot up your PlayStation and see what's new in the store, and I mean, the Nintendo channel, just go and you can check the latest previews right there, and you know, and that's not even including websites and podcasts and, you know, the core and everything else. So I mean, there's very little room for error for these, you know, general video gaming magazines. They really have to carve their own niche to really stay in the game, otherwise they will fall to the wayside. This is very much like it's not quite like this. We're back in the old Atari days where you had, you know, Atari Age magazine and all the other stuff. Those all went away too. I mean, everything is cyclical. They can't last forever. So, you know, it's up to them to see if they can extend their lifetime any longer than they have already.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
And as the media or the medium that people are looking at, the web changes, such as iPhone and the iPhone clones getting cheaper and cheaper, and as more developers keep getting into that market, you're going to be able to take all this stuff portably wherever you want, and then, you know, your
toilet,
exactly, and your paper magazine isn't going to look so appealing anymore for something like that. So, you know, give it a couple of years and you're going to have a niche or you're not going to survive.
Right, that's true. Well, let's see. Any thoughts before we wrap up? Because I think we've covered quite a bit.
What do you guys think? You guys think you're still going to be buying magazines in the future? Like, do you like them as they are right now?
I do. Yeah. If the subscription cost, you know, still keeps being competitive the way that it is, as long as I can still get a bit of personality, and as long as it's, you know, appealing, feature-wise and visually than I'm in. But, you know, for just day-to-day news stuff, online's the way to go, without a doubt.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Completely.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. All right, well, here's a different way to pose this question. We said online versus print, but now we have this like merger of the two with Core Inside Xbox and Nintendo Channel. So online, print, or the merger?
Like a hybrid type?
Yeah, the hybrid.
I'm cool with hybrid types, and we've mentioned it a couple times already. You know, we've got 1UP and EGM. You know, I'd like that because we get the personality side and we, you know, get our direct news, which is great. I don't care for the, I can't use journalism and Core or the Nintendo Channel in the same breath because it's just, it's not really journalism. It's advertising for the most part. It's just information about a particular game presented by the company. So those are ads to me.
Yeah. I can't lump them together. The only reason I watch... Yeah, I only go on Inside Xbox when I see something that catches my eye. Like, I'll see, like, oh, interview with Dennis Dyack and Two Human. I'll watch it just to see footage that likely wasn't on any other site, which is most of the time is the case. That's usually the only time I go on there. Like, I'll go on it every day to check what's on there, but the ones I actually click on are only ones I hope to see more gameplay footage or if it's an interview, which is about 2 minutes. So
as long as it's a proprietary channel for... the system it's touting, just like Nintendo Channel, Xbox, or Core, you're only going to get the one perspective per system. So you're not going to you're not going to get the magazine feel. You're not going to get the perspective feel from different you know, reviewers or whatever. Now, if the reviewers themselves or the writers themselves did their own online service such as that, that might be a different story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would actually be pretty cool, actually. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah.
That's
actually kind of one thing that I like about the Inside Xbox is they've got a little segment on there where they kind of there's a guy and a girl, and I forgot the name of the segment, but they review kind of, you know, like an older arcade title, and they give their personal interjections on it.
Yeah.
And that's redeeming. Whereas you look at Core and they've got like some contracted chick from like, you know, G4 or something like that.
Yeah.
Where she's just reading the script.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah,
bro.
Jessica Chobot.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't tase me, bro. She does say bro a couple times. Yeah,
I know right now, Inside Xbox they have a couple things on there where they had like David Klayman from IGN do a couple things on there, and I think Hillary Goldstein was on there once, and like just the other day there was a thing saying then now Jessica Chobot's going to have her own little segment on there every week.
Oh, yeah.
They're all IGN, so... But they're not going to be... Like, everything that's on there with them is not... It's no kind of, like, objectionable or opinion-based journalism whatsoever. It's just like, here, check this out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Now go look at controller Chobot.
Yeah. Right. Now, that one segment that had the guy and the girl, weren't they talking about worms?
They may have at some point. I think most recently they were talking about Luminous or whatever.
We were looking at that. And we're like, yeah, that's like an old game. They probably aren't getting any sales.
Sales.
So let's bring attention to it.
Yeah, that's right. All that was.
Exactly what it is. Yep. Is that the pick up and play segment one
there? Yeah,
it's usually all old stuff that are like, how do we boost this?
Yeah, we got to boost the sales on this. But it was presented. It wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't heavy handed or anything. It's like
it wasn't.
They weren't like begging. Yeah. You know.
Well, they also kind of put it in at the end that it was actually someone who watched the show that requested that they talk about worms, and they said,
really?
"Yeah, they actually
meaning
said that
their boss,
and they give you like the email address, and they say if you have a if you have an old Xbox Live game that you want us to talk about, then go ahead and send it in through the email." And I think that's kind of cool, but
I
definitely agree that it's just like, oh, this isn't getting enough sales. Let's throw it out there.
Yeah,
it's always a little suspect.
Yeah,
it's very suspect. That's the first thing I thought of when I saw that. I'm like, they're lacking sales on that thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, one thing that Inside Xbox is going to have over Core is, number one, you're going to get a lot more content over the course of 1 month with Inside Xbox. I mean, I did the math, and it was just in the 1 week, you had like an hour's worth of video. And, you know, you have this a little less than that with Core, and that's a one-month thing.
Right.
So it was just you had fewer spots with a couple longer spots. Most of the spots were all 3 minutes to, I think there was one spot that might have been about 5 minutes, but they were all about the same length as the Inside Xbox ones. And the problem is, again, as everyone has pointed out, you've got advertising right in your face, and yeah. It's not even like, oh, we're just going to put a little banner at the bottom with the sponsor, you know, that's unobtrusive. It's just kind of there. Yeah. You know, we're going to force you to watch something.
And you're paying for it.
And you're paying for it. Yeah. And that's the part. If yeah. they weren't charging for this, you know, then I could understand having the advertising in your face like that. But because of the fact they're putting it out there, and they're getting paid a good, pretty penny for that too.
Oh yeah.
And let's not you know, kid ourselves here. They are getting paid a lot of money to have that ad placement, and you know, why are we having to also pay a pittance compared to what they're getting paid for that? So that's my that's my biggest criticism of Core right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but also keep in mind though that the Sony's PSN is 100% free right now. And it is light years beyond what it was on PS2. So they do have to think of some way to get some kind of revenue. And at least this way, they're not forcing you to pay. They're giving you the option to download it or to buy it if you want to. Because they need to get some kind of revenue from this, because they can't offer it for free forever. And this is at least something that it's not forcing you to pay for it. And I don't know.
And you can't go
buy it. I'm playing devil's advocate now, but because I don't think, because of the advertising, I don't think it's kind of fair either. But I mean, it's not too bad considering everything else you're getting for free.
Well, and you don't have to get the whole thing either. You can get episode per episode
you can
if
get
you
it
like.
Per month.
If you see something that interests you, then it's like it's like $3 or $2 or whatever.
Right.
And also the thing about PSN is that they keep, you know, they keep pushing the fact that it's still free to play online. You know, they're still saying that, and you know, that's the main thing that people want from an online system like this is they want to play online. And, you know, PSN still offers that for free.
Right.
Yeah, and that's all awesome. And again, my only real like criticism at all was the fact that it's like a pop-up ad that you're forced to look at for a while. And that's just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. And it's great that they're offsetting that with the free download for people who don't already have the game. That's great. Well, that's only for subscribers, by the way, not for one-off. So, you know, the people who want to do the one-offs, that incentive is gone completely.
Right.
So not only are you paying more if you got every issue each month and you didn't get a subscription, you're not even getting the benefits of getting the subscription. So it's kind of like a double stick it to you twice. But, you know, again, if they had made it so you, just like we said earlier, if you only had to watch them once and you went back to watch it again, you didn't have to watch them again on top of that. You know, if they, there's a lot of things they could do, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know how popular this is going to be. I mean,
yeah. This is episode one, so we'll see what they do once the feedback comes in.
Yeah,
I guarantee that's going to be the number one thing that people don't like besides the price.
Yeah,
right.
And they may go with what the public wants on this one, because you know they're not going to want to charge something to the public where the public is just like saying, I got ripped off all over the place.
It almost looked to me like what they were doing is what a lot of like game videos and YouTube, well, not necessarily YouTube, but game videos and things like that, where you're going to go watch a video and they force you to watch a 15-second spot before you get the actual video. It seems like they set up Core to be like, you know, a downloadable version of that. It's like that kind of medium.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, I have no problem with that if they updated it daily and not monthly too. So,
does it matter to you guys that it's in HD over just regular standard def?
I think it's pretty cool that it's HD.
I'm loving that it's HD. That's the only thing I really love about that, because you know
it's pretty.
Yeah, it's very pretty. If I can see what it's really going to look like on my TV versus this little window in the middle, I'd rather see the full screen.
Comparatively, I mean, inside Xbox looked horrible compared to the core.
Don't even mention like the Nintendo Channel, because those are really just flash-based small windows.
Yeah.
Well, you can view them in full screen, but they don't look any better than the inside Xbox stuff.
Yeah, they're just blown up pixels at that point.
Viewed in 480p.
40p, woo!
It's a little bit better, slightly.
We're using both GameCubes this time.
Yes. Both those GameCubes are working hard.
Cool. Well, I think we're all pretty much in the same boat in this one. You know, get your news from online, but there's still some cool stuff in print that we want to go after.
Yep.
There's some niche and some cool features, and they can get those exclusives, and you know that's the print of the future, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, Terry and Ken, I very much appreciate you guys coming on the show. Why don't you pimp VG Evo one more time before you go?
Okay. Well, the best way to get a hold of either Terry or I or any of the wonderful people that we've been discussing, you know, online and print with. Go to VGEvo.com, and it's a community hub for video gaming, PC gaming, you know, collectors who like to, you know, deck out their game rooms with the coolest stuff. And
your backlog box.
Yeah, backlog boxes, and, you know, and just how to meet other people who have similar interests as you, and just basically come hang out. It's like one big hangout.
Come hang out, talk with us, play with us. That's about it.
All right.
Very cool. VGEvo.com. All right.
And Ken, I was going to challenge you to Street Fighter, but I broke my thumb way back in the day. So.
Likely excuse.
Yes, yes.
My Dragon Punch isn't what it used to be.
Is anybody's, really.
Awesome. I've actually been practicing guys. With HD Remix coming out. Ken just got a PS3. Yeah. That's a magic moment for me waiting to happen. I've been training for this. I've been waiting for this, and Ken's just like, "Eh, whatever. All right, hey, whatever. I don't care."
Some more fodder to add. Okay,
yeah. another day in the park.
Yeah. Plus, you're practicing on the shitty D-pad of the 360.
I'm actually using the joystick. We'll talk about that later. Anyway,
awesome. Cool. Well, thanks for having us on, guys.
Thank you guys very much, and we very much appreciate you coming on the show. Very
sure. Much, thank you.
And we will talk to you. We'll talk to you on VG Evo.
Okay. Sounds great.
Cool. Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
See you guys later.
All right. Bye.
Well, that was really cool. I'm so glad that they came on.
I'm so glad it's over.
Fun. Why is that?
Because I don't have to be nervous.
Because the nerves.
You're shaking?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you had to tell Ken that he was basically your idol.
That's true.
I have a shrine.
No, but I mean, it is really cool that they came on, and I can't thank them enough for coming on. So,
mm-hmm.
Awesome. And I love talking with them. It's that was so much fun.
Agreed.
Cool.
Thank you, guys. To you.
So you want to let's move on. Let's get to new releases, and we'll start wrapping up.
Cool.
All right.
So let's see what we've got next week.
I'm excited.
Let me bring up my. Don't be.
I'm trying.
There's
to be.
Nothing interesting coming out next week. I promise.
Hmm?
For the Wii, per pals. DS 1 vs. 100, like the TV show. Journey to the Center of the Earth, like the movie.
Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Ducati Moto, which is a motorbike
Ducati.
Racing game.
Ducati,
whatever. That's what I said.
Ducati.
I thought you said something Ducati. Totally different. I was like, whoa, what kind of podcast are we?
Trauma Center Under the Knife 2.
Whoa.
Okay. AMF Bowling Pin Busters.
Well, Chris, you're excited about that one.
No. on DS? Come on.
What do they have, realistic waxing on the floorboards or something?
Well, fuck you.
That's the curling game.
That's curling.
Yeah, sweep! Sweep!
There's the yelling.
Sweep
the
faster! Sweep! You're on the subway. You just look at you like you're on crack. Sweep!
They'll probably get into it.
Hurry! Okay, I'll stop yelling into the microphone.
Oh, man.
Hard!
Okay,
that's
enough.
For that one.
for 360, Gears of War Refresh is coming out. For both 360 and PS3, I guess this didn't come out last week, Hail to the Chimp.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
And that is the new release list. So, if you don't have Gears of War already, what's wrong with you? But it's coming out again next week. So that's pretty much the highlight of next week.
The Trauma Center games are pretty good too. So,
yeah, Trauma Center, I guess. I never really played any of them. They don't interest me very much.
They're right.
Everybody get Hail to the Chimp, because those Gamecock guys who made this game, real upstanding individuals. They're awesome.
Are you being sarcastic?
Yeah. Yeah. Shadingly so.
Yeah. They're the guys who interrupted Ken Levine, right?
What's that?
Yeah. Ken Levine, when he did his whole speech at the Game Awards. Uh-huh. He couldn't do his speech because they came up there and ruined it for him.
Right.
Right.
But they did apologize afterwards.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, me neither.
They were dressed as a fucking rooster.
Yeah, that's true.
Idiots.
Well, Jason, we didn't get any regular emails this week, did we?
No, everybody just wanted to talk to Ken and Terry. So
yeah, I can't say
not to us.
Them. We suck compared to them. So
no voicemails.
All right, well, let's talk about next week's question of the week.
Let's do that.
So with all of the remakes and remixes and throwbacks and all that other stuff that's coming out, we wanted to talk about them. So what do you guys think of remixes, remakes, and throwbacks in games? So we had a pretty big one recently in Space Invaders. So that was a really cool one. So give us more examples and tell us what you think about them.
Yeah. There's lots of good shit out there.
Sounds good.
Lots of good examples. All kinds of stuff on Live Arcade. Of course, you probably don't like those. Nobody does. But you can talk about it.
Cool. Well, before we wrap up, you guys... I guess I have to do cleanup, huh?
Let's not give them a way of contacting us.
I do my job so well.
Thanks for all the no emails.
That's moving
along.
Thanks.
So you can answer the question of the week by sending us an email, and that address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail. It's 818-528-GAME, 818-528-4263.
I'm getting rid of the voicemail.
Get us on Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Make sure to drop by VG Evo and check out our forums and check out the rest of the forums. Terry and Ken have worked very hard to set up a really cool community, and you guys should definitely take part in it.
Agreed.
And also check out Warhawk Wednesdays. We're still having a lot of fun doing that, so come join us. Or come join Jason and Jeff, apparently, because
we're great fodder.
I also wanted to give a special shout-out to the guy that's been kicking my ass consistently week after week. I can't remember his name. It's like Death Note or something, Death Speak,
something like that.
He took it easy on me this week, I think because I was crying last week about it. But you could tell he actually kind of held back and just let me do my thing. And then
it's like Death Wish.
Then he'd kill me. Yeah, something like that. But it was a great time because of it, so thank you.
Did Callan get to play? Did he get?
Yep.
Did you guys?
Yeah, we did split screen action. Cool. So it's funny, actually. I think it was animated. Like he shot me down, and then he got shot down by another Unistrike, and he sent me a message on PSN. He's like, I don't know how the hell that happened. And then I saw another one that shot me down, and I'm like, what the fuck? He figured out that it was someone else.
He's using the Game Genie.
Yeah, the Game Genie. I'm Game Sharking.
Cool.
All right.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed our chat with Terry and Ken.
I did. Thoroughly.
Definitely.
Yeah, we had a great time, and we appreciate them coming on. So I guess until next week, my name is Chris, and for Jason and Jeff...
How are we going to do this again?
I have no idea.
Whatever.
All right.
Take it easy.
We'll see you next week.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Last week, the world of comedy suffered a huge blow. George Carlin, one of my favorite comedians, died at the age of 71 due to heart failure. This is usually something that we don't do, but I'm taking something from the PlayStation Nation podcast, and Glenn and Mark, I hope you guys don't mind, but I wanted to leave you guys with one of my favorite clips from George Carlin, so I hope you guys enjoy.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms or euphemistic language. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. And it gets worse with every generation. For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat. Most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables. Shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea, 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to 8 syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still 8 syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you, if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you that. I'll bet you that. But it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language. That language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. I'll give you another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a healthcare delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're fucking broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it. And... yeah. And some of this stuff is just silly. We all know that. Like on the airlines, they say they want a pre-board. Well, what the hell is pre-board? What does that mean? To get on before you get on? They say they're going to pre-board those passengers in need of special assistance. Cripples! Simple, honest, direct language. There's no shame attached to the word cripple that I can find in any dictionary. No shame attached to it. In fact, it's a word used in Bible translations. Jesus healed the cripples. Doesn't take 7 words to describe that condition. But we don't have any cripples in this country anymore. We have the physically challenged. Is that a grotesque enough evasion for you? How about differently abled? I've heard them called that, differently abled. You can't even call these people handicapped anymore. They'll say, we're not handicapped, we're handicapable. These poor people have been bullshitted by the system into believing that if you change the name of the condition, somehow you'll change the condition. Well, hey, cousin, doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. We have no more deaf people in this country, hearing impaired. No one's blind anymore, partially sighted or visually impaired. We have no more stupid people. Everybody has a learning disorder. Or he's minimally exceptional. How would you like to be told that about your child? He's minimally exceptional. Oh, thank God for that. Psychologists actually have started calling ugly people those with severe appearance deficits. It's getting so bad that any day now I expect to hear a rape victim referred to as an unwilling sperm recipient. You know? And we have no more old people in this country. No more old people. We shipped them all away and we brought in these senior citizens. Isn't that a typically American 20th century phrase? Bloodless, lifeless. No pulse in one of them. A senior citizen. But I've accepted that one. I've come to terms with it. I know it's here to stay. We'll never get rid of it. That's what they're going to be called, so I'll relax on that. But the one I do resist, the one I keep resisting, is when they look at an old guy and they'll say, look at him, Dan. He's 90 years young. Imagine the fear of aging that reveals. To not even be able to use the word old to describe someone, to have to use an antonym. And fear of aging is natural, it's universal, isn't it? We all have that. No one wants to get old, no one wants to die, but we do. So we bullshit ourselves. I started bullshitting myself when I got to my 40s. Soon as I was in my 40s, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, well, I guess I'm getting older. Older sounds a little better than old, doesn't it? Sounds like it might even last a little longer. Bullshit, I'm getting old. And it's okay, because thanks to our fear of death in this country, I won't have to die. I'll pass away. Or I'll expire like a magazine subscription. If it happens in the hospital, they'll call it a terminal episode. The insurance company will refer to it as negative patient care outcome. And if it's the result of malpractice, they'll say it was a therapeutic misadventure. I'm telling you, some of this language makes me want to vomit. Well, maybe not vomit. Makes me want to engage in an involuntary personal protein spill.